All right, here we go.
What should I do and how should I do it? I got a problem and I gotta get through it. Who should I talk to? Who should I see? What book should I check out of the library? Yeah, but I don't read, so I watch some TV. I see what Hulu has to offer me. I got Netflix and Amazon Prime. I got more options than I got time. I just need a little distraction to keep my mind off my lack of action. I just need a little TV so I can forget completely. Forget completely.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Life's a Binge. I'm Jared.
I'm BJ.
And we have a very special guest with us today, Courtney Broussard.
Hello.
Courtney Diamond. I should say Courtney Diamond.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. They're both okay. They're both my name.
Okay.
You can't get it wrong.
Right.
Can't get it wrong.
But your presence is known as Courtney Diamond.
If you go on the internet, you're going to find me at Courtney Diamond everywhere. Yes.
Right.
Okay. Now, that's a chosen name, or is it the...
It's my middle name. Diamond's my middle name.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's awesome. Yeah. I don't think I knew that.
It's worked out.
And I've always, yeah, I think I've always thought about it, but never thought about it too much.
Most people just think I'm special, and I just threw Diamond at the end of my name.
Courtney
and I'm
Diamond.
Like, no, it's my name, you guys. I don't think I'm cool.
Actually, my middle name.
I don't think I'm cool.
Well, you do think you're cool.
I was like, I hope you think
you're
cool.
I think I'm a decent human being.
Right.
I wouldn't just toss a diamond on there just for giggles, though.
I think I'm a monster, and
yeah.
Diamond kind of softens it a little bit.
So, it makes me more approachable.
Yeah, for my PR, I call myself Diamond. So.
Mm-hmm. But thank you, everyone out there, for listening and tuning into our fun little show, and liking and subscribing and following us on all social media at Life's a Binge. And you can join our Patreon crew at patreon.com/Life's a Binge. So big shout out to the folks over there. Like Tony and David and Jess and Kathy and our honorary bingers and all the folks that support us.
Sorry.
Wait, something already?
Yeah.
Tangent train.
Well, it just reminded me, I was talking to David, one of our patrons, and I was saying, oh, dang it, you know what I want to do?
What's that?
Is I need to become a patron myself for $5 a month.
Oh, yeah.
Like, just to do that, just to, like, you know, I know that we put our time and energy and all that stuff into it, but just also just to, hey,
that's
this much, I'm going to do that.
Good
So I got to remember
that's
to do
nice
that.
That's a nice move. You know, today, the podcast I put up today, I just launched my Patreon page. I didn't have one.
Nice.
So
we just
started that.
Like, yeah, how long ago?
Yeah.
Like,
I don't know,
month ago?
Months, yeah,
took a couple months.
At most.
I figured it seems like something one should have.
Yeah.
These days,
even if,
it seems like it.
There's one or two people that do it. It's still like, oh, thanks. I appreciate any support I can get.
Yeah.
Even if it helps it at all. So,
content creation.
That's right.
You need
everything
any
helps.
Thank
yeah.
You.
It all helps. Yeah. It's got a little costs involved with it. So.
Yeah.
And as always, if you want to get a hold of us, you can send us a message on Facebook. That's probably the best way. Or you can send us an email at lifesabinge@gmail.com or give us a call on our voicemail line at 619-438-0532 and join the Life's a Binge phone army that way. But all that being said, let's start the show. So take a big breath with us right now.
Life's a binge.
Right?
What's up?
What's up?
What's up?
What's up, man?
That's, for a moment there, I was like, that's a good sound bit that we got from somewhere. I'm like, oh, no, we did that. What's up? What's up? What's up? Because it sounded legit.
Like the
90s commercial.
Yeah.
What's up?
So what's up, man?
Oh, man, so much is up.
Yeah.
So much is up. Oh, my goodness, yeah.
You always hit it, and then you're always like, working in the zoo, working in SeaWorld?
Yeah, man, that's a lot of stuff. so much is up.
Yeah.
Zoo, SeaWorld, the summer, this heat. So I feel like this heat is broken.
Yeah.
I feel like the entire world is, like, been hot.
This world is on fire.
Yes.
Yeah, it really is.
Everybody has been hot. Everywhere. But we've been having this ridiculous heat for the last month, I feel.
It's pretty terrible.
How long has it been? Like a month? It feels like a little forever.
It's been a while. Yeah.
So tonight, and actually last night, was like one of the first nights where I was like, hey, okay. It wasn't as bad.
Where you felt like you were going to survive the night?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's the problem.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And without a killer sore throat because you have every fan in the world blowing right at you.
Yeah, exactly.
And so hopefully we're at a little a reprise from that crazy heat.
Well, you said it out loud, so probably not now.
Yeah, it's too late. Jinxed
I think the weather hurt you.
You ruined us!
It was so funny, and I've been thinking about the heat and the weather a lot lately. And so You know, like a lot of folks here in San Diego, I have a crush on Dagmar Midcap. You know who she is?
The weather lady?
NBC weather lady here in San Diego.
How do you not know somebody with that name, right? That's like a
it is a unique name. But I was thinking that, like, this weather makes her look unattractive. Like
Jesus. Like, you know, because everyone's a little moist?
Or everyone's just a little angry at the weather, you know? So, like, she's got to bring the bad news. Like, drrr!
Dagmar. Oh, I got it.
Yeah, this weather makes...
She brings the bad news, yeah, so you're like, taking your emotions out.
Dagmar.
Got it.
That's
what you're saying.
But I was also thinking, like, something about giving the weather. Like, she could give the weather report in hell, and it would be okay. You know, it's going to be unbearably hot, and you're not going to get used
to it.
You're not going to get used to it. This isn't Arizona. You. It's hell. That's the idea. You're never going to get used to it. Thanks, Dagmar. I can't wait. It's going to be great.
Nice.
So, what else is up, though? How was your birthday?
Birthday? We already did that.
Your wife's birthday.
My wife's birthday. Well, it's not my birthday. Well, I was like, my birthday was a month ago.
Because I was celebrating a birthday too, but it was not mine. It was my sister-in-law's.
And my wife's birthday was great.
That's why we're recording and dropping a day late.
Yes.
Than normally we do.
Yep.
Because we had stuff going on.
Yeah. So we celebrated my wife's birthday on Saturday with my family, and then we celebrated with her friends last night.
Fun.
It was a lot of fun. Yeah. We did board games. You know, boring adult stuff.
Like what? What games did you play?
I don't even know what it was called. It was basically we were, like, pitted up as teams, and then they'd ask you, like, a horrific question, and then we had to decide whether it was me or her that was the answer, and then, like, the other teams had to say whether or not we agreed on the answer or not.
Is it, like, a couples game, or...?
It's a team game. It just happened to be nothing but couples, and so we played as couples.
Huh.
But it would be something like, I don't know, who's the messiest person in the house or something like that.
Mm-hmm. When you said horrific question, I was getting worried.
Well, I mean,
that's
a very tame.
Yeah,
that's
sure.
a very tame example, but there are things in there that, yeah.
I thought it was some sort of, like, when you said horrific question, like, along the lines of Cards Against Humanity or
something
like
that. Yeah,
think that,
but...
worse.
The tame... No, just like that. But, like, okay. The tame example was, you know, who's the slob? And you write down Samantha, because she is. Mm-hmm. And then she writes down... If she wrote down her name as well, the other teams would say whether or not we agreed on the answer or not.
Uh-huh.
And then if you disagree, and you're like, oh, Samantha, and she says me, and then we fight about it, and it's fun for everyone.
Right on.
And then everybody watches that, and that becomes the show.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah.
Then they choose sides, and then, the divorce proceedings start.
Exactly. So it was fun, but, I mean, that's pretty much all we did, was sit around... play games, but that's what you do when you're old, I guess.
That's cool.
Old and married.
We went to...
is that how it works?
We went to Buca de Beppo in...
Downtown?
In Mira Mesa. And because so my niece Isabella
there one up there.
Works there. I didn't know either.
I knew the downtown one.
But there's one up there by Edwards IMAX.
IMAX?
Yep. Yeah. Which apparently is the place to be, according to Matt Warburton, as far as seeing the IMAX theaters. But but it was real nice. Bella's a waitress there. And I just got kind of like a nostalgic, I don't know if either of you have ever worked in restaurants, but there's a certain...
Fast food.
It's different. That's different. but just restaurant work is kind of a trip. And it was just kind of exciting to like be in there and have her kind of like living vicariously through her and like knowing like a lot of little insights.
You were dreaming and living vicariously of being a waiter.
No, just like... Like, I had a lot of...
what do you do for a living? I played music all day, you know, I entertained thousands upon thousands upon thousands, but then I go to this restaurant and I'm like dreaming of being a waiter.
I'm not dreaming of being a waiter.
I'm missing the good old days of waiting tables.
I lived that dream for a long time, but those were good years. I mean, they were a lot of fun, and you make better than average money doing it in general. Yeah. And there is the only thing that makes me nervous about it is that it's always debaucherous. Like I'm like restaurant work. It's debauchery.
Is it?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Like the waiters and the cooks and everything. And you're working with alcohol all the time. You get off work at a certain hour, you go out after that and it's, you know, up all night. It's debaucherous.
So you're a wreck and you come out with good stories.
Right. You come up with a lot of good stories. Yep. Yep. And you get good money if you don't blow it all, you know,
alcohol.
On your debauchery.
Right.
But it's also a lot of fun. Like, you know, if you're working, if you like working with people, you know, it's a lot of fun. So I was just kind of happy for her and like enjoying, you know, seeing her go through something that I'd gone through. And so that was really cool.
Nice.
A lot of fun.
Yeah.
And so that's pretty much what's up is family and little thing. And then the summer's moving on and we're about to go to Oregon in a couple weeks. So
nice.
That's exciting.
What's
up with you?
Courtney, what have you been up to?
Oh, gosh. You know, trying to survive the heat, one. Been back and forth from here to L.A. plenty, because I got a lot of friends up there, so I've been hanging out.
In Los Angeles, eh?
Yeah.
Nice.
Working a lot on my computer. Got my podcast going again after taking a bit of a couple-month break.
Yes.
Tell us again about your podcast. Let everybody know.
Oh, my podcast is called We're All Human.
Yes, it is.
And I talk to a lot of different kinds of people. I've talked to Jared.
Yes. You talk to a lot of different kind of people. That is
I go all different kinds of people.
Like it's, and I'm like, how do these people find you? And you're like, hey, you know, Instagram, well, wherever.
Instagram is a big one for me. Well, it's a mix of either people I've known for a long time or just people that'll hit me up that want to talk or whatever, or people I find interesting and I'll reach out or something like that. But
it's always interesting.
Yes. Whenever he's like, what's the main topic? And I'm like, I don't know. Just it's like life. It's like relatable life stuff. Right. So I feel like we always end up talking very vulnerably.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like talking about vulnerable stuff and how we got to where they're going. And
those are good talks.
Yeah.
Vulnerability talks are
I
very
just try to get to like a real place with everybody. And it gives me a good excuse to sit down and have like a deep conversation with somebody at least once a week. Mm-hmm. Which is, I find it refreshing.
Well, it's weird because people don't do that. I think that's even like something we kind of talked about when I was on your show. It's like people don't talk anymore, ever.
No.
And it's weird. And then when you start to say, like, that's one of the things, because like one of the reasons like I was slightly late today is because we went to look at a house that we're thinking about renting in La Mesa.
Great.
And I'm just like, there's a whole bunch of people like filling out applications and stuff. And all I was doing was standing there schmoozing with the guy.
Mm-hmm.
Just having conversation,
you
talking,
gotta do that,
and I was like, I picked one little thing that I noticed, like he had a shirt that was from the El Cajon Speedway, which used to be a racetrack in East County, El Cajon, that doesn't exist anymore, but I was like, Cajon Speedway, I know that place, and like, that was my conversation icebreaker, and boom, we were off and running, and now we're probably one of the front runners to possibly
that's a good move,
because I just stand there talking.
You the person that has
and
the
and it's
place,
within your price range and everything. And
yeah. But it's just funny that, like, everyone else is just sitting in their own little quiet corner filling out their applications. And I'm like, not only am I not afraid to talk to people, but I know how to talk to people because people don't do that anymore.
I'm scared it's going to be a lost art, you guys.
It is, though.
With these it's already rough.
Yeah.
But I'm scared as the newer generations come up that they won't have the same kind of level of communication or try to broach the same level of communication.
I wonder about that. I wonder, like, if they're... Who's to say? I mean, they might have some sort of new way of communicating that we don't get, or I don't get.
Right.
And
pure mind reading in the future. All telekinesis and mind reading is going to happen.
See?
No, bring it on.
Yeah. Let everybody
all
know.
All for it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What else do you do? You're twitching and stuff, right, too?
And I'm playing a lot of video games.
Nice.
Exactly.
Sweet.
Getting back on a regular schedule.
Ooh. So, speaking of video games.
Tangent training.
A couple things. I finished, after 3 years, it's been sitting in my thing, I finished Batman.
Okay. You finally got all the Riddler trophies.
I got all the Riddler trophies, finally.
Go. Which Batman?
Batman Arkham Knight.
Okay.
which I probably picked up because you were like, this is cool.
All the Batmans. That combat system is so good.
Yeah. It's fun. Like you've spoken highly about it. And so, and I've had one or two, maybe, this might be my third Batman game, but... Nice. It's fun. But I had gotten to a point where I'd beaten the main storyline, but I still had the Riddler, and there were all these Riddler trophies everywhere.
And they made them a pain in the butt, though.
They are, yeah. And so literally it was 3 years after, like, finally I'm like, well, let me see if I can find it, and I'll get on the internet, and I'll, like, just...
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So, like...
Yeah.
She's, like, cheating
it was
your
nice.
Way through it.
It was nice,
it's
yeah.
It's not cheating.
No, I mean, I do the same thing. I'm not saying it's unacceptable.
Yeah.
So many
otherwise,
times.
Otherwise, you're like, how in the hell do you find this?
So many
and people
times.
Are like, oh, you know, that's
well,
it's
you
tough.
Lose patience at a certain point, because there's a lot of those things, and some of them are a little tricky.
Yeah,
they're definitely
they are,
tricky. So you can spend too much time on one game, and there's too many other good games coming out.
Yeah.
Well, and then you were just talking about on your little piece that you put on Facebook with your Twitch feed about you were sniping people on The Last of Us, which is a game that I own.
So good.
Good. I'm glad to hear
you
hear
it.
It's my favorite. It's my favorite game of all time.
You've never played it?
I've never played it. So it's sitting. It's like money in the bank. It's sitting there.
That hurts my feelings like a little.
Well, you know.
Because I want you to have played that because it's so good.
I will play it, though.
You're going to have a lot of feelings.
Most of
really?
Well, that's the thing. Most of my experience with that game was it's so good because of the story and because of the cinematics.
Absolutely.
And then all of a sudden you're game playing and you're like, wait, I'm in it. Got it. And then you're back to a cinematic. It's like so, it's one of the first
fluid.
Like fluid, seamless cinematic Like, Uncharted kind of was there, but...
Uncharted 4? Yeah. Definitely pulled that off.
4 was there for sure, but I feel like Last of Us really captured it.
Was 4 only for the PS4?
It launched on PS4.
I probably haven't played that.
Fallout's not exclusive. No. Yeah, that's not an exclusive one. That should be on all the other ones.
Fallout? Mm-hmm. Or
I think that's on, like, Xbox and stuff, too.
But Uncharted. Those are different.
Uncharted is a PS4 exclusive, yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So, but anyway, I'm looking forward to playing that. The Last of Us.
You're going to love it. And then Last of Us 2 is going to come out next year.
And we're looking forward to Red Dead Redemption 2. Because that's one that Andrea loves. So she'll, on the PS3, she'll, like, if she's having a rough day, she'll come home and she'll shoot him up and play kill and just go out.
Everybody needs a game like that. I firmly believe it.
Oh, yeah.
You need one just kind of jump in and shoot him up game.
Yeah, yeah.
To hang out and relax.
Yeah.
I've been using Warframe. You guys heard of that?
I don't even know what that is.
PS4, when it launched, like, that system about 5 years ago, it was already on there, and it was a free-to-play, and it's still free-to-play. You can pay money and get, War like, game? Fancy stuff. But you're going out. It's kind of like Destiny. It's kind of like that idea. But it's a free-to-play game.
And like Fortnite.
All the kids are about Fortnite.
Oh, my
dude. I played Fortnite for a minute.
Both of my nephews are all about
Fortnite. For socialness, because my friends were playing it. But
and there's literally no, like, I was expecting a little, you know, 5 minute, like, push this button to do this.
No,
do
they
that.
Don't tell you anything.
Nope, you just, like, I hit go, and I'm like, here I am skydiving, and I'm like, okay, now like, what? And now I'm dead, and I'm like, okay, I guess I'll respawn. I had no idea what was going on. And normally,
it's very confusing.
Video games are pretty intuitive, but I was like, no clue whatsoever. So
yeah. I played it just for the socialness. Yeah. It's a couple games like that where I'm just playing them because all my friends are playing them and we're chatting. It hasn't held my attention as much
Fortnite?
As I mean, people are obsessed with it and play it constantly, but
I think
it hasn't
it's
got to
be
me.
More because of the social thing. I think most people that hear about talking about it is because they're battling against some people and they enjoy that. Not like, I don't know. I mean, when Petner was my roommate, he was World of Warcraft up and down all day, every day.
I did a free trial once of that.
I don't know if he's doing that or not anymore.
That's about as far as I made
it. I got nervous. I went into one of those, like, role-playing rooms or whatever where people are, like, legit living that life. Mm-hmm. And I got real nervous, y'all. I was like, maybe I gotta get out of here.
You don't have what it takes.
I don't have what it takes. Yeah, I'm sorry.
No. That's fantastic.
I'm sorry.
Oh, sweet.
You live in the land of Warcraft, like Disneyland. You need to move to the world of Warcraft, where we're immersed in it. It's big.
It's crazy.
It's a true story.
Yeah. Oh.
That's what's up. What's up?
That's what's up.
That is what's up.
This just in.
News. What's up with the news? You got any news?
Well, you know, as usual, and we were just talking about MoviePass.
Following the MoviePass. Do you have a MoviePass, Courtney?
Sure don't.
No? Do you know
I can't tell you the last time I saw a movie in a theater.
Okay. Oh, really?
To be honest with you, yeah.
Okay. Well, then that's the reason why you shouldn't have it.
I'm that at-home streamy person now.
Well, does that have anything to do with not wanting to go into grungy, gross theaters, or did that ever
bother you? Because I don't like a sticky floor.
Right.
So I'm that person that walks into a movie theater and, like, pulls my phone out and has to put the flashlight on the seat, like, is this a clean seat?
Okay. Really? Interesting.
I'm that weirdo.
You're Janine Seinfeld or
something
like
weirdo.
That.
Yeah. I'm a weirdo. But I don't think I've been in a movie theater in maybe, like, almost a year.
Huh.
Really? What was the last movie you saw?
That's a great question. Yeah, I'm trying to think of it.
She's like, no idea.
Avengers? Didn't you see the Avengers?
No. The last movie I saw was Ready Player One. I did see Ready Player One in the theater.
I did not see that one. Mm-hmm. But I would be disappointed if you didn't. So,
amazing book. The movie.
Me.
It was okay. I had fun.
Entertaining?
I
hated it.
I go back. Here's the problem. They changed it very drastically from what the book was. A lot of scenes that did not exist in the book, they just fully made it up.
Yep.
And my problem is, I understand when movies are a little bit different than books because it's a different medium. Like, it's a visual medium that you need to change some things.
Yeah.
They changed it so drastically, and I don't feel like the feeling was the same when I came out of it as I felt when I finished the book.
Right.
So you didn't capture the same feeling.
Right.
And that's where movies lose me when they change stuff. Yeah.
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 Speaking of which, this week, we're all excited. Andrea and I don't have a lot of crossover in, like, tastes as far as, like, movies and TV.
Sure.
We just don't. So whenever we do, we're like, woo, we're going to watch this together, you know, whatever it happens to be. For MasterChef for a while, we're enjoying that. We haven't really watched that. But anyway, she was all excited about the Murder on the Orient Express remake that came out last year.
Right. She's big into the book, right?
She loves the book. Yeah. Loves the book. And the old movie, if you've ever seen the movie, mm-hmm. It's great. It's great. Peter Ustinov as Hercule Poirot. And great, great, great. So this is Kenneth Branagh and a star-studded cast.
Yep.
And so we watched it. And
it was amazing.
You should have seen Andrea. It's so funny. She was like at the end, she's like, no, 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 no. And just going on and on like, this is not you. And they changed apparently enough of it to she just.
Yeah
it was miserable. It was really funny to watch and just like, go on, baby, go on. You know, like, but it was cute because she was mad. And she's like, I feel about this movie the way you felt about A Quiet Place. I was like, I don't hate A Quiet Place. I just was, you know. But anyway.
Yes, you hate it.
I, in a way.
Which is not the same thing a lot of times. It's frustrating.
I can't believe you hated it.
But that movie, Murder on the Orient Express, was a disappointment, I should say, to say the least. Mm-hmm. What you were expecting, and the cast is fantastic. But they're not that great. Michelle Pfeiffer was like, meh. You know, like, you kind of, I don't believe any of that at the end, you know.
And isn't Johnny Depp in that?
Johnny Depp's in it, mm-hmm. you know, for a minute, and he's like, meh. I mean, he's all right. Everyone's good, I guess, for the most part. Kenneth Branagh, his Hercule Poirot is kind of, like, uneven. It sounds weird at first, and his mustache looks really fake. Like, you could see, like, that's the thing with this high def, you can get really good detail.
I don't like it. I don't like the super fast frame rate stuff. Because you know why? Because you feel like you're on set.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like you're watching a movie and something like, because it actually isn't it like it's better than what our actual vision is, the motion, because there's no motion blur.
Yeah, there's no blur, right?
Yeah, and we see motion blur naturally, and they remove all of that, and so that makes it feel like I'm standing on set, and you look like you're in a costume, and weird. I'm looking at a set.
Yeah,
interesting.
And you take me right out of the moment.
Well, that kind of is what happened there, because you could kind of see like the mustache piece and the little.
I would like to think that Kenneth Branagh grew a real mustache for his part.
It's a big, outrageous mustache. And Hercule Poirot's famous for his big.
Yeah, the big old handlebars.
But it looked. No, you could see, like, plugs of you know, of hair in the prosthetic.
Boo, Kenneth Branagh.
But as the movie went on, his character was a little, like, I liked it. I liked his character after it went on. But it took a little while for him to find it. And I think it was probably a little bit. You know, you direct it and you adapt it your own self, and then you star in it. It's a little.
That's a lot of work.
That's a lot of you. You know, that's a lot of you in there.
Very few people seem to pull that off really, really well. Like Garden State is a good example of somebody pulling that off.
Yeah, but that one. See, this is another thing that we were talking about. It was like, this is a brilliant book, you know, and a brilliant author, Agatha Christie, and the original is a brilliant movie. Like, it's an enjoyable movie, and it stays true to the story. And so anything new that comes up, especially a remake, I have a big problem with remakes of classics that maybe shouldn't have been made, and that's how we feel about this one. It's like, this probably shouldn't have been made.
Because if you did it right.
It could have been done right.
Then why are we messing with it?
Yeah. And look, why did...
Willy Wonka
exactly.
and the
Chocolate Factory. What if they did a remake? What if they did a remake that was, like, the exact same scenes with just new people and, like, better graphics?
Well, you know, because that's what...
script.
Right.
Isn't that what, I think, like, Gus Van Sant did for, like, Psycho? He, like, remade the entire movie shot for shot. Like,
I think so, yeah.
And so, like, you know, it's clearly an homage to it. Mm-hmm. But part of me is like, why?
Don't
you
do know? It. Why? Right.
Yeah, so...
Because you're going to lose something. I was having this conversation about, you know, video games being made into movies.
Uh-huh.
Video games these days are really, really, or some of them, are very, very cinematic.
Yeah.
So you watch them and you feel like you're watching a movie.
Yep.
But they want to, for Last of Us, for example, they were talking about making a movie of it. And I was like, could they actually do this any better if they put real people in it? Because the acting is already so good. Yeah. It's mocap.
Right.
So how would you do it better? I would still see it.
Of course.
But... Right, how could you do it better?
That's the thing. They think you can, or they I don't think they think that they can do it better. I think that they're like, we can make more money because people like this product.
Hashtag
the
Hobbit movies.
Right.
Three movies for the Hobbit.
Yeah.
That's the biggest cash grab I've ever seen in my existence.
That was dumb. Yeah. That was dumb.
CGI City.
Yes.
Well, it's funny. Speaking of video games, my godson... You don't have to every time.
We're talking about news right now, yo.
I know, this is news, kind of.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the topic we're talking about, is remakes and stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
And video games.
In the news segment? Keep going.
Anyway.
I hit the button.
There's a video game that my godson Lennox suggested that Andrea and I play together. And she's like, it's a life-changing experience. I wish I could remember the name of it. And I was like, cool, I'll check it out. It was only like $35 or something on Amazon.
But you don't remember what it was?
No, I was hoping Courtney might, but that's all right. It's like,
life-changing?
Yeah, it's like a very emotional experience, I guess, for the role player, for the game player.
Is it like a decision-based game?
Maybe, but he says you play it. He's like, you should play it with Andrea. Like, that was the thing.
But it's a one-player game, so you play and she watches? Or?
I don't know.
God, that's what I want out of a relationship. I want a relationship where we just sit together and like play video games one-player style. That's beautiful.
Uh-huh.
That's pure beautiful.
And then you just kind of like watch and observe the other.
And we switch off.
It. Yeah.
There's a really great game called Until Dawn that's a decision-based game where you play as a lot of different characters. My dream, maybe this Halloween, you get a bunch of different people in your house and you each play as a different character. You just hand the controller off, make it a drinking game.
Okay, it's your turn.
I dig it.
It's your turn.
That's what I'm going
to
do.
Well, so when I play as Catwoman, I hand it off to somebody, off to someone
else. That's fun. That's socialness these days.
That's how it used to be. It's crazy. So I do want to talk about MoviePass for a minute because it's nuts. The new plan is still $9.95, but you can only get 3 movies a month is the new.
And they're booty movies.
3 movies a month, and they don't have the new movies. Let's see what else they got rid of the peak pricing and the ticket verification. So you don't have to take pictures. So that's like a thing that they're like,
I never
did
that.
We're doing this for people too.
Yeah.
And then, so I just think it's funny. I'm going to read this part about, this is the email that I got. This is the closing of the email that I got that they sent me. The truth is disruption and innovation require staying flexible and having an open mind. We genuinely strive to offer you a service that is a great deal, and we believe that the new plan we are introducing will be attractive to the majority of our members. Period. Much love, thank you, Mitch Lowe.
That's the name of the...
Mitch Lowe is the CEO.
L-O-W-E?
Yeah.
Huh.
But, like, the truth is, disruption and innovation requires
disruption and innovation. So when you're trying
and
to
having an open mind, he's telling me like, sorry, we're like screwing you over so much, but just you know, have an open mind about it.
When you're trying to disrupt
it
innovation,
requires staying flexible. The truth is, disruption and innovation.
Oh, and innovation
require staying flexible and having an open mind.
Disruption and innovation. So, okay.
So they're saying like, yeah, sorry we're screwing you over, but, you know, it requires you to stay flexible and deal with it, basically. I'm like, what? No, yeah. I signed up for a product, and now it's not that product ever, at all.
Yeah, I had to...
This should be getting better, not worse.
Yeah. I had to buy a movie ticket. So when I went to see Black Klansman, I had to buy it.
Right.
And I was so mad because the day before, I was looking at it. It was a Mission Movie Pass. Oh, Black Klansman.
Well,
how did
you see Mission? Oh, you saw Mission Impossible because
I had
a pass.
To pay for
you
it. I had a pass that I won from SeaWorld.
Yeah.
So
did you know what Movie Pass was at all, Courtney?
Is this a subscription thing? You pay one price, but you
get
$10
a month,
and
you can see any movie you want all day, every day.
Yeah, and that was the idea. You could see one movie a day for 30 days if you want.
Wow.
And you could see whatever movie you want. So I can go see Batman, and then tomorrow I can go see Batman, and then tomorrow I can go see Batman.
Sure.
See, now, originally, was that it was?
Making money? Is that what?
Well, they were losing money hand over foot, like just by the gallon.
Because it used to be $40 a month or something. Like when it first started in like 2014, 13 or whatever, it was like $40 a month. And people it was the same thing. And then they lowered the price down to $30 a month. And then they lowered the price down to $10 a month, and everyone and their mother sign up for it.
Because that's Netflix.
Right.
Yeah.
But it was movies in the movie theater. So you could go see, like, opening day Star Wars, Last Jedi. I went and saw it for free.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not sustainable.
That's what pretty much everyone is thinking. How are you going to make money? And so we've been talking about it for months now, where we're get on it and take advantage of it, because it's not going to last. There's no way it can last.
So they just got you hooked on it, and then they were just, now we have to change the model because we can't sustain it.
They
probably
can't sustain it. Yeah, there's been every day there's a little bit of news. Yeah. They have to borrow.
Right.
Especially that news story. We had to borrow $5 million.
$5 million.
Like, $5 million doesn't seem like anything.
Right.
Like,
I would like to borrow $5 million if you have that.
But if you're doing like a business like that, you know, like $5 million, like, that's not going to last. You need a bigger loan.
They're struggling.
But clearly, they were also, and we were talked about this too, that there are certain business models. Like Amazon lost money for 20 years before they turned a profit.
That's why they're so damn smart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so the same
because they just
type
made choices they knew people were going to invest. Because I said they own my life.
Yeah.
Well, Netflix is the same way though. Like they pay so many people so much money to make movies and content.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way that, and they're not making money yet. But they
I still think you're wrong on that.
No, you can look it up.
I still think
that's weird that it says they're
but
not.
But you wouldn't think that about Amazon either for that long. You wouldn't think that Amazon was not making a profit for that long.
I can believe that. That's more feasible to me.
But Netflix has got to be the same thing. I mean, they're establishing this enormous subscriber base that they are addicting to their product, you know, which they've been doing very well at. Like, they've been putting out so much content. Some of it's, like, so much I'll never see it. I'll never, ever
sure,
see it.
Sure, but I remember when they announced they were going to start making their own original programming,
uh-huh.
and I said to somebody, you know, dumb as I am, I was like, it's going to be the worst.
Right.
Right? I was it's going to be so bad,
it's
though.
Very good.
And it's so good.
But that's because we thought nothing could beat, like, HBO or nothing could compete with anything, and then all of a sudden it was like, oh, shit, nothing can
You hire
with
those
Netflix
same
now.
People. Yeah, you hire the same people.
But I feel like they find people that are just, you know, they let the creative people do their creative thing, and they probably don't impose as much of their own, you know, opinions from corporate-y people.
Yeah, because they don't have to answer to sponsors or anybody. Mm-hmm. Like, they're like, Barbasol doesn't like the fact that you said penis in your sitcom, so we're cutting it.
Tell Barbasol.
Like, that's the funniest joke of the episode. Well, sorry, Barbasol says no.
Yeah.
Netflix is like, say penis all you want. You can have a show called Penis of the Penis. I'm like, let's go for it. And they'll sign it up, and guess what? People are going to watch it because you can't get that anywhere else.
Yep.
So. I dreamest of the meanest penis. Something like that.
But yeah, so
Netflix is like, we'll take it. Yeah. we'll put it on the air.
I think MoviePass is toast.
MoviePass is toast. Netflix will be fine.
I'm about to cancel it.
Me too.
Like, I'm this close.
Yeah.
But I'm like, no, but what if it gets better again? But I'm like, I don't want to pay for it.
Yeah.
Plus, I haven't used it because I wanted to go see Mission Impossible, and they're like, can't do it. And I was like, okay, fine, I'll go see Christopher Robin. Nope, can't do it. And I'm like,
really?
What am I paying for? Yeah.
Yeah. Like, so you can see, there's like six movies you can see.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the thing, too. You like movies to see. And then you click on a thing, and it has one movie listed that you can see with your movie pass.
It's all great. So that's basically the news. We're trying to keep
that's
up
a
with
summer
MoviePass
long. Yeah, that's
that
a
stuff,
summer so. Long running commentary about MoviePass, and it's been great.
Yeah,
you know, the summer of MoviePass and the summer of scooting, and I haven't scooted that much either. I haven't scooted.
You're talking about like the birds.
Yeah, the bird scooters. Yeah. Have you done that?
I still haven't used it yet, and I live in PB, which is madness.
They're everywhere. They are everywhere. They're fun. Yeah. They're fun, but I don't imagine they're going to last.
I've watched a lot of drunk people wipe out.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Is there like a liability that says you're not going to hold them liable if you crash a scooter?
I'm sure there is. I'm sure like when you sign up.
End user.
Yeah, it's that Apple agreement. Yeah. You know,
no one.
You
reads.
Never sign that. Otherwise, you become a human centipede.
Terrifying. I need to watch that movie.
Oh, no, you don't.
I'm just curious.
Have you
seen it?
I haven't seen it. Oh. It's on my queue.
Number two is
I kind of just
worse.
Want to fast. To be honest, I just want to fast forward.
The first one actually is...
I want to see the ass to mouth, sewed together. I want to see that.
I don't know if I want to watch the whole thing. I just want to see that part.
I want to see an image of, Have you seen the South Park takeoff on it? Or do you watch South Park?
If you watch it,
I do
it's
watch
awful.
South Park, but I haven't seen that.
It's awful.
And then they tie
human
that
into the movie.
But here's the great part, though. Yeah. Somebody wrote Human Centipede and pitched it, and some guy in a conference room was like, yeah, we're definitely doing that.
That's my
somebody
joke.
Somebody greenlit that.
That's my joke about, like, somebody. You've heard of the movie Teeth?
No.
Oh, is that the vagina that eats
people? Yes, the vagina with teeth.
I don't know how so the brain knew that.
I think we probably talked about it. But there's a movie, and it might be on Netflix, but it's called Teeth.
Oh.
And the storyline is a girl who has teeth in her vagina.
Oh, God. But see, some guy in a room was like, mm-hmm,
that's
definitely.
What I'm saying. Like, I was cracking up, imagining, like, listen.
That, definitely.
This is a German who's sympathetic to the Jews, and he works very hard to, like, free as many as he can. He's, like, pitching Schindler's List.
Yeah.
And they're like, nah. All right, we'll get this. All right. There's a girl. Instead of a regular vagina, she's got teeth in her vagina.
So what's the title of it?
Like, it's called Teeth.
Teeth?
Make this movie.
Yeah, I get it.
Spielberg, you can learn a thing from this guy.
But that's the thing. Like Sharknado was made, right?
Exactly.
Somebody wrote that.
Yeah.
But sci-fi now kind of plays that up. Like, they'll put some kind of, like, just ridiculous type of things on because people expect it. And it's you know you're getting something kind of weird.
Speaking of that.
That's a perfect segue into Matty Warburton's review this week.
And you have it?
He did the Meg, yeah. So
oh, good. So I'm excited.
And now another installment of What Do I Know with Matt Warburton.
Hello everyone, I'm Matt and this is What Do I Know. Okay, so last time I know I said I would do Skyscraper, but that movie is like in two theaters right now and the movie times just didn't work out with my schedule. Sorry about it. So I treated myself to the new summer action sci-fi thriller comedy, The Meg. In the late 90s, author Steve Alton started a book series called Meg about a megalodon shark and the team constantly up against it, mainly Jonas and Mac. In total, there have been 5 books released. The latest came out in 2016. It was slated to come out in 2015, but the publishing house ran out of money and had to sell the rights. Basically, it's been quite a journey for these books. Finally, Warner Brothers picked up the movie rights and shot out a movie in time for us to feel uneasy about getting in the water before summer ends. Since we're dealing with a book series, who knows? We could get a Harry Potter or Lord of the Rings style set of goofy shark movies. So, the Meg focuses around Jonas Taylor, played by the charismatic Jason Statham. Charismatic with his jump kicks, anyway. The Transporter series was so freaking awesome. Anyways, Jonas is a captain and diver who is great at getting people out of tough situations. Jonas has everything that makes a great hero. He has a particular set of skills and a scarred past. His friend, Mac, brings Jonas back to the water rescue routine when a group of deep sea explorers are caught beneath what they thought was the sea floor and into a level of nightmare fish and what we thought were extinct beasts. Being so great at his job, the crew wasn't the only thing that Jonas brought back up to the surface, but an 80-foot megalodon, hungry for its newfound favorite snack, people. Jason Statham was great in this movie. He provided a perfectly grizzled, reluctant, but willing hero. Every time he gave a look and made some heavy statement, you knew that it was about to be on. For these action movies, he's pretty amazing. He also has some comic chops, which were important for this movie. Rainn Wilson plays mouthy billionaire investor Jack Morris, who backs the underwater research facility with funds and one-liners. He actually does a pretty decent job in this. I've mainly seen Rainn Wilson as Dwight Schrute, so it was nice to see him in a completely different type of comedic role, which I thought he pulled off well. Also, the biggest delight was Shuya Sophia Kai, who played the little girl Maying. She was adorable and had great chemistry with Statham. Usually I don't see kids with that great of acting chops, but she was solid and had me laughing. Ultimately, the Meg had me pleasantly surprised, but I was also holding the bar pretty low. I did have fun watching it. I laughed, I was invested, I even jumped at parts. But one of the weak parts of this movie was that it didn't feel like totally like a comedy or totally like an action movie either. Those parts seemed to feel a little bit separated. I think that I would have liked for it to be more saturated with humor while maintaining the action. Not always an easy thing to do, but I guess just film aspects that would feel more cohesive would be nice. The story felt a little hacked up for me, at least at the beginning. I felt ultimately it could have been stronger, and I wonder, coming from a book series, what they actually used for the movie and what part of the original story got left on the cutting room floor. Or did they use story elements from all 5 books? Also, the film did kind of feel a little bit slow starting out, but once it got going, then it paced along quite nicely. Finally, the effects. Since we spent a lot of time with marine life and underwater chases, there was a lot of CGI, but it wasn't exactly mind-bending. At times, it felt like I was watching a sci-fi original movie. Sorry, Sci-Fi Network, but you know exactly what I'm talking about. In conclusion, I think that there were a lot of goofs with this movie, but the movie knew what it was and embraced those goofs. I felt that the Meg accomplishes exactly what it set out to do. Have big action scenes, make you jump, and make you laugh. I don't know if I'll be investing into it outside of the movie theater, but I sure had a lot of fun when I was watching it. But hey, that's just my opinion. I say, hop in your undersea gyrosphere and unleash that prehistoric, thought-to-be-extinct monster called MoviePass and check it out for yourself, because hey, what do I know? Join me next week as I really don't know what I'll be watching. I don't have anything in the chamber yet, but it'll be a good one, I promise. Or maybe not. Until then, I'm Matt, and this is What Do I Know?
Somewhere under the sea, somewhere.
Yeah, he does our, because we don't.
Matt's been killing it. Yeah. Like, he's been, yeah, he does a segment for us, and it's like I've enjoyed it every single time.
Yeah.
And so he's found a really good niche with us for doing that.
He's good.
good. Yeah. But for now, let's take a quick break. After these messages, we'll be
right back. There's one. There's another one. And another one.
Holy!
Get more than you ever imagined when you trade your games for something new at GameStop, where 150 titles are worth $15 or more. Power to the players.
Back to the show. And we're back.
Yeah.
BJ, you said during the break you had some thoughts on the Meg.
Well, I want to see the Meg, and it reminded me
of...
I hate
the fact that it's called the Meg. I hate it.
That is a bad name. That is a bad name.
And just call it Megalodon.
I have a couple friends named Meg, and they're both like, hey, I have a movie out. Mm-hmm. So, but it doesn't sound like it's terrifying.
Right.
It sounds stupid.
The Meg.
It sounds stupid.
But that's what it sounds like was kind of the problem, right? He said... There's a big thing with movies with expectation.
Yep.
If you're expecting to go in and you see it's an action movie, but then it's like comedic,
right?
Your expectation affects the way that you feel about a movie afterwards.
Absolutely.
You want to hear my awesome quote that I heard a few weeks ago about expectations?
Of course.
Sure.
It's great. I'm sure I haven't. I don't know if I've shared this. I thought that I have, but I'm
pretty sure you have.
Yeah. But anyway, expectations are resentments under construction.
I like those words altogether.
I do too. And it's a real deep thing. And it was a freaking UFC fighter who like said it on the radio like as I was driving home.
Smart dudes.
Yeah, I was like, dude, you just blew my mind. Like that's really good. Like
yeah.
That's really good. And that's a deep, deep message.
Well,
for
it
a
is,
lot
you know,
of folks.
Why? Because life. Because releasing expectations in most things in life is usually a good idea.
Yep.
Yes.
But that's what it is. And but with movies especially, like marketing, if they market you a comedy and you go in and you see something different than that, you're automatically turned off because you were going and wanting something.
Yeah, if only the marketing team from A Quiet Place let people know that it was going to be a fucking quiet movie, BJ.
Yeah, if I would have seen literally
Did you see A Quiet Place?
I did not.
Damn. Yeah.
Did you ever see a commercial for it?
No.
Me neither.
No.
Me neither. And that was one of the things. It was like, I didn't
it's
know anything
quiet
about
movie.
It's a quiet movie?
Yeah.
Yes.
That's the theme?
Well,
legitimately,
the monsters come attack you if
it's
there's
all
a
about
lot
quiet.
Of sound.
It's all about being quiet.
Since they're very quiet.
Yeah, that's a hard sell. There.
It's real good. It's
okay.
Real good.
Are you sarcastic?
No, it's
I hated
no, it's good.
I hated
really
it.
Good.
Okay, well, see, I don't know how to feel right
no,
now.
It's really
I don't know how to
BJ,
feel.
I hated it, but literally
for
is because
the entire time that it was in theaters, it had a 99% rating on
it. No, everyone loved it. Mm. Yeah, everyone loved it. I was literally the only person who didn't like it.
Yes.
Isn't it weird when you're that person and you're like, what? Am I crazy?
Yes, yes.
No, he thought everyone else was crazy. He's like, wait, it was quiet.
No,
I hated it.
Yeah, that was the problem. Is like, it was just... At some point, like, I enjoy watching a movie, and then there's a suspenseful moment where, ooh, you got to be quiet.
Yeah.
You got to be quiet this whole fucking movie. The entire time. There's, like, three moments in there where there's talking, but the whole time is like...
Ooh, I feel like you got to be in the right mood for
you
that.
You know what it was?
I wasn't in the mood.
You got to be in the right mood for that
I was,
kind of
yeah, you got... Yeah, and so you'd be... It'd be... Like, literally, it's not a bad movie. It's a good movie. But,
you just
but
didn't...
Like,
you
I wasn't ready for it.
But if you're not ready for it... Do you know
I wasn't ready
theater.
For it.
You know what one movie that pulled it off for me, where I was expecting one thing and got a different thing and was still okay with it? Cabin in the Woods.
Ooh, yeah.
I love that movie.
I was expecting a full-on scary movie, but got something more comedic and light.
Yes.
And I was okay with it.
It was
and that's
a great
very
ride.
Rare.
It's because they did because they still made a horror movie.
It
but
was still
it was
a
like
movie,
but it was like
kinda
on edge.
It was a
right?
horror movie like
yeah.
where you
with
get to peek behind
open.
The curtain.
Exactly.
Yeah, you peek behind the curtain. Yeah.
But it was a pleasant surprise, whereas usually it's like, oh well, I was ready to get scared.
Yeah. Yeah, that's just your resentments under construction right there. That's
I like that. That's really lovely, actually.
It is a great
thank
thing.
Thank you, UFC fighter, whoever
yeah,
you are.
That was Dominique Cruz. He lives here in San Diego.
Oh.
And he responded to my tweet. Like
hey.
Yeah, like I tweeted like, dude. Dominique Cruz just fucking owned it on the 1090 show.
Yeah.
Twitter like, makes me so happy.
I hate Twitter.
I hate
I don't
it
know
too.
How to.
Me neither.
I don't
I'm
know
still
how
learning.
To.
But, like, I was listening to Rob Paulson's podcast, Talking Tunes. I don't know if you know who Rob Paulson is. He's a voiceover actor. He's been in every cartoon imaginable.
Okay. Oh, Pinky and the Brain?
Yes.
There you go.
He is Pinky on
I'm
Pinky
so surprised
the Brain.
That I could pull that out.
Yeah.
I'm really impressed.
He plays Pinky on
myself.
Pinky and the Brain. And so I was listening to one of his episodes or whatever, and I'd send him a tweet off of this episode that was an old episode, and like within 5 minutes he replied to my tweet, like saying thanks for blah 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 blah.
Yeah,
and
that's, I'm cool,
like, he's on top of his socials,
right?
He's on
top. Somebody is, but somebody's at the same time, his name with the little blue check was the one that replied to my tweet.
He's so verified. Exactly. So verified.
Yeah,
sending me a message.
Yeah. So we got off on a little sidetrack there. You wanted to talk about the Meg, or did you say what you wanted to say about it?
Oh well, I was thinking was that, like, I enjoyed the movie Piranha.
Oh yeah,
Piranha 3D.
Hell yeah.
And so it was so good. Like, yeah. It was so good. Like, and maybe it had to do with expectations, because your expectations are very minimal.
It's mm-hmm. just like when I watch Zombievers on Netflix.
Zombievers?
Oh, God. Yeah. That's a movie.
I've never heard of that.
Yeah.
That's depressing.
Zombievers.
Zombievers. Yeah, they come in. It's like a horror, quote unquote, movie.
Right.
Where these kids are
sci-fi?
In some cabin somewhere. It's on Netflix. It was, I think it was a Netflix original, actually.
Really?
I think so. But anyway, these kids are out in the cabin in the woods or whatever, and then they get attacked by zombie fevers.
You can do anything these days.
You really can.
You can tell any story you want.
It was literally like a hand puppet. Like, the gopher from Caddyshack?
Yes.
Picture that, but a beaver murdering people.
And that was like the production quality of it.
Yeah.
Like, was,
okay. I mean, everything else was really good, but the villain, the beaver,
it wasn't taking itself that seriously.
At all. It was like Piranha. Piranha
right.
doesn't either.
No,
well, I mean, I've seen a horror movie called The Fog.
Right.
And legitimately, like... The bad guy is fog.
Yeah, the fog.
Yeah,
that's the
fog.
Whole movie.
Yeah.
What the fog
only
is going
scary,
on?
The only thing that was scary about that movie is that we walked out of it and there was fog.
Oh, yeah.
And then,
like,
we were all like trying to we were all
great.
Trying to be tough. We
that's
were like,
great.
No, it's good.
I don't care.
It's I don't need anybody to walk me to my car. I'm fine. But the movie itself, yeah, it was terrible. Yeah. But you
that's
can,
great.
But that's beautiful. It's in some way it's beautiful. It's
right.
like you can have any story idea you want and just make it.
Well,
and there's a place for it.
Hey, shark's teeth in your vagina. You could have that.
You can tell that.
I feel like the Meg, I don't know whose expectations were going to be. Like, this is going to be an awesome action
My expectation
movie.
Would be
My
that...
They called it the Meg.
Is
yeah.
a piranha dumb? Like, or
mm-hmm.
what was the
right.
what was the shark movie where they were, like, genetically modified? LL Cool J was in it.
Oh, with Samuel Jackson, he gets killed.
That movie was awesome. Deep Blue Sea.
Deep Blue Sea,
that
yeah.
That movie sucked.
Yeah.
But see, I thought that one was going to be more of like a Jaws suspense, whatever. And so that expectation was like, this is going to be more of that. But then it turned out
super
to be
camp.
A super camp.
Well, that's why movies like Snakes on a Plane work.
Right.
Because
well,
it's called Snakes
you know
on a Plane.
You know
I feel
what
like
are you expecting?
I read an article that said that Samuel L. Jackson was like, I'll do this movie, but only if you call it. And that was a working title. That wasn't the title of the movie they wanted. That was just like what the guy called it
right.
when he wrote it. And he's like, no, but you got to call it Snakes on a Plane.
So good.
Yeah,
like,
that,
what?
Is, that is good.
Fantastic. No, but the expectation versus reality, when you're going to see The Meg and it's about a giant shark, like, what do you think it's going to be?
Exactly.
Like, so, anyway.
And that's why I think that a lot of people are receiving it well. They're like,
yeah.
Oh, you know, it's fun. It's fun. It's, you know.
Well, and it's Jason Statham. Like, no offense to Jason Statham or anything, but when he's the lead of the movie, like, it's like, you know what you're going to get. Like, kind of know.
I do enjoy him, though.
Yeah. Like, Crank. Like, did you see Crank? Or Crank
is that,
2?
Oh, is that... No. Well, it's Crank is the one where he has to stay, like, juiced up.
Crank is where he has to keep hitting himself with adrenaline, because it's basically speed, but in his heart.
So he has to have sex with a woman, like in front of everybody in order... Right? Right?
He doesn't have to,
but he does.
I believe that happens.
He's
in order
like,
to keep
no,
his
I
heart
do.
Going.
He's got
to
have it. Yeah, he's got to keep his heart
Trust me,
pumping.
I do.
Right.
Yeah.
And then
it's in his contract.
No, but I do. Yeah.
And then in the second one...
I didn't see the second one, for sure.
Oh, the second one's better.
Really?
I mean,
well,
no.
Probably.
Yes.
Probably, yeah. Probably.
The second one, instead of like him amping himself up with adrenaline, he has to he's got to literally charge his heart with electricity. So it's called Crank 2 High Voltage.
And boo. I've never even heard of it.
He's only a video game character.
Oh, yeah.
I've never even heard of it.
Oh, there was a character. What was that PlayStation game where you had, like, electric powers?
Infamous?
Infamous.
That's the one.
Yeah.
I've played all of those.
Yeah.
I've played one or two of those, yeah.
They're great, actually, really
that
fun.
That game has a thing where it's like you get a sense of vertigo when you climb up the top of this one
mm-hmm.
structure, as good as any game that I've seen. Like, I remember every time I played it and got up there, I was like...
It's really impressive.
Yeah, it is.
It does well in making you feel powerful. Like, games that make you feel like a badass are great. That's
yeah.
why Batman games are great with that combat system.
That's what
you
like
feel
about,
cool
God of
it.
War 2 is kind of that
God of
War
is
like, blam,
blam,
blam, blam.
Don't get me started on that.
I love that.
That is the most beautiful game.
It is. God of
and
War
it's like
3.
One camera shot.
What do you mean?
The whole thing is shot like it's one camera.
Oh, yeah,
even
it all
when
just
he
rotates
walks through
in.
A door, if you notice he walks through a door, he actually shoves it open a little bit as though like a cameraman's walking behind him.
So
look
great.
For it. It's really weird. It's
maybe
like he
so.
Opens it.
Maybe like as when
you're
they're
following
when
him.
They're filming that, you know, and they're creating some of that digital stuff that they I'm sure that a lot of that they use like live people. So maybe that was like something that they did.
God, it's so impressive. And
is,
you
like,
can't tell the difference between your gameplay and a cinematic.
So right. That game reminds me of the game Hydro Thunder. Do you ever see that or play that?
That? No.
So it's a boat racing game that was big in the 90s. And like so I used to play it in the arcade like crazy. And then when Sega came out with one of their systems, and I don't know if it was Saturn, but they had Hydro Thunder on it, and so that was like the draw for me to had to have buy that system.
I gotta play Hydro Thunder.
I had to buy that system. Yeah, I bought it and I played it at home, and it was great. But it just this fantastical setting. So there's like races where you're racing against like six or eight other people, but the set is like in the Nile, you know, and you go through Egypt and you go through fantastical, you know, fantasy settings of underwater stuff and all kinds of crazy stuff and. It's just super visually it's fun, and that's what God of War 3 is, at least, and 2. I played, but I'm not.
You gotta play the new one, dude.
I know.
That's the one. That's the one
like
I'm talking
it?
About, that brand new one. Just
really?
Not brand new, but you
well,
know.
No, that's definitely on my list, so that's good to hear.
It's gorgeous.
So you played it. Okay, good. Good.
It's
yay!
The story is beautiful. You get all involved. My goodness.
God
but
of War.
Yeah, but it's just, it's they just didn't do anything wrong.
Right on.
She did nothing
is
wrong.
There, what? There's video game awards, right?
There have to
like,
be. Yeah.
I'm sure there are.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure there are. But
there
like,
are.
How come they're not? They need to get.
You want
a
Grammys
credit.
For video games?
Well, they need to get credit. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I guess there's like Game of the Year and mm-hmm. all that stuff, but I don't know who gives those out.
There's a video game award.
There are.
You know, I think that it kind of plays.
It's
my
just
my
not,
experience
it's not, it's mainstream.
Right.
Is that it plays like the Kids' Choice Awards is how it plays
right.
to me, like how I think about it. Like, mm-hmm. oh, the video game awards are out. And, you
but
know.
That's the crazy thing, right? Video games, though, have turned into something entirely different. It's
yeah.
not like old school Mario now where you're just kind of like, where it's a time waster and you're doing whatever. I mean, a lot of these games require genuine, like, great skill and hand-eye coordination.
Mm-hmm.
They have beautifully told stories
mm-hmm.
that are more impressive than a lot of movies you'll see sometimes.
Yeah. And the budget that matches.
The budgets are huge.
Yeah, the budgets match it.
And
so.
It will
and
be
the money
future.
And the money they bring in match it.
Absolutely.
You know, the money they bring in matches.
It'll be the future. Think about VR.
Mm-hmm.
The games that we're going to be playing in VR.
That blows my mind.
It's going to be, well, even just for learning.
Yeah.
To teach people things through video
games. Oh, my God,
games,
yeah.
It's
I think
huge.
About, like, oh, you could walk, like, you could set up a virtual reality of old Rome
yep.
and
mm-hmm.
walk through old Rome
and
see aqueducts.
Can you not taking
and
the
see,
class, but just getting to walk through the city?
Would
right.
be dope.
Exactly.
I mean,
yeah.
I mean, this is, like, for me, like, this
like,
is
I don't
super
want to do
exciting.
The school part, but I want to walk through Rome.
But, can you imagine that's
well,
how
you know,
they taught
you? Would, like, well, you
ever
could,
since, like, Star Trek and the holodeck, when you're like, yeah, I want to go anywhere and do anything
mm-hmm.
and, like, have it, and then, like, okay, I'm done. Gonna go eat dinner now.
Right.
Click.
Yeah.
Like,
I would love that. I would love to, and learn. I would love to learn. You know, so in within that VR experience, walking through old Rome, you could learn, oh, this is where Cassius and blah, blah, blah did a thing, blah, blah, blah.
Absolutely.
And you learn about it, and you're like, cool. Or this is where they had the big showdown about the vote of over blah, 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 and this is
mm-hmm.
what came of it.
That historical would be, events and
yeah,
games.
Yeah, and
even like
and
Assassin's Creed Origins puts
oh,
you
yeah.
in the middle of Egypt
yep.
and
yeah.
you're in like Alexandria and running roaming the streets and
hey.
It's a way to teach people things in
yeah.
this really really immersive way.
But then like Devil's Advocate goes like then we're going to start living in the VR and you know
well, once
going
you can
through
design
like,
a beautiful avatar
Oasis and like and then we're going to have the hover chairs from WALL-E and like we're not going to ever come unplugged.
Right.
Depends
gonna, like,
on
how
I'm represented in
you're
the
just
VR.
Gonna live in
because
the
you're
Oasis.
Gonna because you're gonna be an avatar, but you're like, but like I'm a little
I'm,
sexier.
I'm a sexy
I mean, like me,
VR
but
god.
Like, I'm
yeah,
a little
yeah.
bit.
Yeah.
like, if it like scanned you by what, but like most game, like just look at Ready Player One as an example.
You'll
like,
get to whatever you want.
They live in the video game and they can create whoever they want,
mm-hmm.
like whoever they want to be. Like H is a perfect example because like he. G, whatever you want to call. Like, he's a big badass, like, muscular, ripped dude, and then she's a small black girl, like, in real life.
Mm-hmm.
But in
cool.
the Oasis, you can be whoever you want.
You so just did you just ruin this movie for me?
No.
Okay.
No.
I'm going to see it anyway, yeah. so I don't
you
care.
You get to go.
Good.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, you'll get to be whatever you want to be. I think it'll go through a weird transition where people get lost, and some people will get permanently lost, probably.
Yeah, like,
but then maybe
but you know
we
what?
Figure out a way to be like symbiotic with it, where you spend a little bit of time in there, but you're also—I mean, you're still a human with a body
right.
that needs to be taken care of. So,
there are people who, without VR, have gotten lost in their own heads, and we have to live with them anyway. And so, you know,
they're still safe. They're there now.
I think everybody has, like, I don't know, some experience in their life where, like, so-and-so took too much acid back in the day, and now their head is crazy. Mm-hmm. And, like, I just remember experiences through that a lot, you know, like, in college or, like, you know, so-and-so. And I wonder if it's true or not. They're like, you know, he used to be like a rocket scientist. Like,
I doubt it.
I doubt it too. I think that's one of those urban legends so-and-so used to be this, you know. But.
Do you kind of feel like it's like a personal responsibility thing, though? Like, once that stuff's available to us, like, you're going to lose some people along the way, probably, but it's going to be up to you as a person with a life to say,
I'm not going to live here.
It's
like in The Office when Dwight had a second life, but then in his second life, he created himself. So that
way, in his
second life, he could go to Second Life. So his character created a second life system in the system.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was like living two layers deep. It's so funny.
It's all about satisfaction. Yeah. That's what video games are built around. You feel satisfied playing them, right?
It sounds like a Black Mirror episode.
Yeah.
That's my favorite thing in the world, Black Mirror.
That show's bomb.
Now,
I have a lot to watch.
I've seen every episode. Yes, I've seen every episode multiple times. Okay. Don't get me started.
I love it. Great. That's awesome.
Or do.
Start. I know you just told me not to, but I'm sorry. I can't help.
I'm obsessed. That's where my brain is at. That's my type of thing. That, especially like lately. Ex Machina, Her. You know those movies?
I never saw Machina, but Her.
Ex Machina is on Netflix now.
Her is on Netflix too, right now.
Joaquin Phoenix just put out
a whole bunch of good stuff on Netflix. Like you and I were, I was watching Dark Knight, and then you just posted, like, Dark Knight's on Netflix. I'm like, it is. I already watched it. It's right there.
I'm laughing. I'm still laughing at that.
Oh, Dent not realizing
it's Joker. Really funny. It's really funny because the way that who's that actor who plays Harvey Dent? He's in
Eckhart.
Aaron Eckhart. Yeah. Where he's like sitting in the bed and then he's like looking at the nurse and then like the nurse pulls off the mask and like, you and like you can't tell. He's got freaking white face and black eyes. Yeah. You can't
tell. Classic superhero stuff.
That's so good.
It's so funny.
Mask on. Nobody can see who I am.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's my thought too.
You guys, if I'd showed up here with just a little eye mask, you'd have been like, who is this?
Yeah, Mystery Girl came and did a show for us. Yeah, so.
Why weren't you what?
Black Mirror.
What's on Netflix? Yeah. So, did you like all of them? Even the very first episode?
I love this conversation so hard.
Right.
Okay. Good. Black Mirror, the first episode. Mm-hmm. I tell everybody to watch it in life.
Yes.
Everybody must watch it. I always tell them, don't start with the first one.
That's what I said to everyone. Too. Okay. That's exactly what I said to everyone.
I definitely started with the first one, but then I kept going because I'm into weird stuff. Right. I watch murder shows, prison shows.
Yep.
Serial killer shows.
Same page. So, we're on same page.
Tech shows.
But
so,
it was still a bit much.
I do tell people.
That one's a bit much.
I do tell people it's going to make you really uncomfortable. So start with something else.
Right.
Or I'll ask them what they usually like and I'll suggest an episode.
Particular one.
And then let them go on from
Where
there.
Where are you at in your life? Well, I'm doing a lot of online dating.
Really? Season 3, episode 2.
Hang the DJ in the newest season would be your episode. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm obsessed with that show.
Hang the DJ. I saw that episode.
It's my favorite. You know which one is that one? I felt so connected to it.
That's the dating app one.
Yes.
Oh, is that the one where they go out?
Where it matches them up and they have a certain amount of time because, and they're stuck with that person.
Because it's my life reflected. Because I do so much online dating now. And I was like, oh my God, if this is the future and this is how they're partnering you with people.
But online dating. How long did that simulation run? Does it run forever or is it instantaneous?
When you download the app.
What do you mean?
So in my brain, mm-hmm. I think it's instantaneous.
Yeah, so
I think
the
computer
is
doing that.
You download the app and then whatever we watch in that episode is happening instantaneously.
Yes.
But then they download the app. It's this person. They look, you.
Yes.
You're my person.
Just like in another episode where they mess with time a lot.
Right.
I'm not going to ruin it, but they mess with time a lot in that show. But I definitely think that happened.
But
like
I thought
this.
It happened instantaneously.
And if that's how it works in the future, where it runs some algorithm like that and puts you through scenarios, and then it shows some man to me across the bar, and we're like that compatible,
bam!
You should know that that's the person you should be with.
Yep.
If you could trust an app like that, that's not how apps work now.
Oh, right. No,
it's just on your own swiping. Okay,
but
and
that's
who
what,
don't
you know,
trust yourself.
Yeah.
Clearly, I mean that's what they're working on. They're working on to be able to figure stuff out, and inevitably, it's for marketing content. For who they can market to in order to be effective.
Of course.
But like they're going to figure it out faster and faster and faster and faster.
Yes.
And so,
well, as they collect more and more information on us.
Yeah. Yeah.
It drives me insane.
Netflix is doing it every day. Everything you watch logged, and everything you do on Hulu, everything you do on Facebook,
Amazon.
It's all logged. And dude, Amazon for sure.
Amazon's all the worst. Of your buying.
Amazon sells that shit to everyone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then, as soon as you buy it on Amazon or even look at it on Amazon, you see an ad
see
for it
on Facebook.
Do you do the thing where you talk around your phone and then all of a sudden you'll get an ad on Instagram?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
I've done that.
Yep.
You have never put it in a search bar.
Yep.
You're and like, all of a sudden it's sending me things.
I think that has happened too. Like, I can't validate. I don't remember.
I refuse
to
get Alexa.
Right.
That's scary. Oh,
that's why Andrea doesn't want one. She's like, I don't want all that.
They're listening stuff. Anyway. It's I carry it around in my pocket. Like, whatever.
It's still listening, but.
Bring it on.
Because I love it.
What
I love
you to me
say.
For?
But then in in Ready Player One, you know, they've got the assistants that are in your house. You can talk to them and give them any personality you want. But I also love the idea of having that too in the future.
Of course.
So you have to give up your. Pieces of your privacy. Yeah. You have that kind of stuff.
No, believe me. Don't care. They want to listen to me and try and sell me whatever. It's like, yeah, great.
Do you like how people are like, just don't do crime?
Right.
You're fine. What's the problem?
Exactly. Well, no.
Crime is fun.
What are they going to listen in on?
I'm doing crime all the time.
Jared's got a cat. Guess what? He needs cat food in about a month. Let's remind him.
Yeah.
By the way, you need cat food.
But so here's the thing.
Subtly put it on your Facebook feed that Whiskas is on sale on Amazon.
We know they're collecting.
You can listen all you want. I don't give a shit. My life's boring as fuck. Listen. Fall asleep. You're welcome, world.
They're collecting all this stuff, and we know that we don't have a whole lot of privacy, but we don't like to be shown that.
Right. No, it is weird. When you say something out loud.
We don't like it when they make us aware that they're collecting things about us. We like personalization, and we think you'd like this show, and blah, 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 but we don't like it when we become really clearly aware that you've been paying attention to everything
that I'm
doing.
You don't
want
to be pigeonholed. You want to be like, you can't judge me. That's I'm going to want to bite that.
As long as they don't make us feel weird about it, we seem to be okay.
You know what? That's probably in their algorithm, too. What makes them feel weird, and then, adjust it accordingly. The what feels weird algorithm.
They should just have a little pop that says, did you feel weird that I sent you this ad?
When I look at something on Amazon, and then that exact thing is in my Facebook feed at, three down as an ad.
Yeah, that's how you know they're connected.
That's a bit much. And it's, instantaneous. I, switch from Amazon from my phone over to Facebook, scroll, there it is. It's whoa.
Yeah.
That's fast.
That's
it went from Amazon
worse.
To Facebook.
It is going
to
get worse.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's not even going to leave the screen. You're going to try and change apps, and it's just going to sit up in the corner until you
Have you found that microphone yet?
Yeah.
Because we have a deal on
it's still
one.
Here. It's still here waiting.
It's called my iPhone. It's my best friend. I take it everywhere with me, right?
Exactly.
It's my
and
best
you
friend.
And you tell it.
It is.
You tell it to remind you to don't remind me to do whatever.
Well,
wake me up in 5 minutes.
We're going to merge with it.
Of course.
We're going to merge.
For it.
This is something we carry around. This is going to be ridiculous in the future.
That's
carrying an item around, it's going to be built into our freaking beings.
Yeah, that's why Her is such a good movie, too.
Oh, God, I love it.
It's a great movie, first of all.
Because it makes you think about, what is real connection? What is feeling? What is real?
Yeah.
If you could feel so satisfied by something that didn't even have a body.
And what's crazy
about
it is
he just feels that close to something.
What's crazy is it's all conversation, which we were talking about way at the beginning of this episode. Mm-hmm. People don't have conversations anymore. And that whole movie, the whole relationship is all just conversation.
Yeah.
The whole thing.
People just want to be connected.
She has been programmed to have certain things of jealousy and such that kind of make
because
it more
they
human.
Because feel real.
Yeah, it's got to feel human.
Because if they feel like machines, we're not going to connect in the same way.
Sorry. Right.
Just thought Tony La Mesa had to hear something
the little edit thing was on that. My OCD was driving me insane the entire episode because I accidentally hit it and the little edit icon was up on it and it's right in the middle of the soundboard and I'm like, God, that edit thing just needs
take that off.
And OCD. you have to tap it to edit it.
That's so funny. But yeah, that's the thing. You have to fool the human brain into feeling like it's genuinely talking to another human. You know, that's the whole. I mean, Ex Machina. That's the same thing. It's
I haven't
a Turing
seen that.
Test.
You've seen that.
Watch it immediately.
Dude, it's on Netflix. You
we should probably go and you
it's
should watch it.
It's been a movie
right now.
Literally, it's been around for a long time now.
Oh yeah,
and
every
so
time
good.
I start to watch it, I'm like, I don't feel like watching it.
Oh, no, it's so
it,
good.
You just, once you
pour yourself a glass of whiskey,
you're just in it
and just
then,
enjoy it
and just zone. Turn the lights off.
Man, it's good.
All right, good. I'm looking forward to watching it.
It's a movie too that has I can't pinpoint any scene that's not necessary.
Right. Yep.
That's a good movie.
It's clean. It's just clean. It's a clean story.
And it serves
story.
The story. It serves the purpose of moving the story along.
Yeah, it's
and
beautiful.
There's the, and there's enough suspense in it to where you're like, what's happening? And then you get confused, and then you're like, what's happening? Bam, bam.
Everything about it's good.
Power,
cool.
Power yeah. goes out, and she's like looking at you, and you're like, what the fuck?
But that's the problem, you guys. Cool. I'm just saying when the androids are built, and they look human, and they can behave human.
I'm going to have sex with them.
You're going to, well, that's, all of the men are. Yes. Men don't even question that. Like, yeah,
women
sure.
will too.
Women will too, but man. We'll be like more on the sly about it.
Yeah.
And, but I think what's going to happen is that you'll lose, like, some people will just opt for non-human relationships and be like, why would I have a human when I can have an android that loves me to the moon and back?
Exactly.
And, and feels like, and I'm connecting to it, like in
who
her.
Who listens, you guys?
Like in her. Who listens?
Yeah, exactly.
Seems to be exactly what I need.
Yeah,
yep,
that's
for sure.
The problem.
Oh, it's perfect.
Yeah.
That's the problem. It's such a good movie. Both of those.
You've seen her.
Yes.
Okay, good.
Yes, Joaquin. Yes, okay. Joaquin. Didn't you love the styling in it, too? Joaquin. The outfits and the bold colors and the his, like, mustache.
I just thought the whole story was
the fact that it
tight.
Looks like it's a story that takes place in the 80s, but yet it's like...
But what is fashion?
Exactly.
But just a cycle.
That's right.
All of the styles
but
come
yeah,
back.
Him in his polo shirts and his, like, big old glass... Like, of course. Like, he looks like he's ripped out of the 80s. But anyway.
Yes.
I downloaded... Or I didn't download. I signed up for a 30-day free trial of Hulu.
You did?
Yes.
Oh, good. Oh, good.
Because
a lot of good stuff on Hulu.
I need to watch Castle Rock. Me and Samantha need to get down on some Castle Rock.
Oh, good.
Which is a Stephen King show. Mm. And we watched some of it. And it's very enjoyable so far.
I am so excited to hear that.
But I'm probably going to cancel it.
Well, we have it for 30 days.
Right.
It's what's $7 a month, right? $7?
Well,
without
know
commercials, it's 12.
You know what's funny? Hulu makes you pay, and they still show you commercials. That's the one thing that makes me grumpy about Hulu. Mm-hmm. Side note, Sprint gave me Hulu for free.
Well, AT&T just gave me a shitload of stuff for free.
I have Hulu, and I don't pay for it.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's worth it. I mean, it's the same like how you lose money for a while in order for the long game. You know, that you get free Hulu for a while. You get free HBO. You get free anything for a while.
Right.
You
well, get anytime free... Game of Thrones comes out, I pay for like 1 to 2 months of HBO just to have it, and I cancel it.
And then you cancel.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
HBO is good.
Because it's worth it. Game of Thrones is beautiful enough for me to do that.
Well,
it is.
I'm more inclined to see if I can keep it in the budget because we're hopefully going to be moving soon, and then we'll have literally no other options other than what we have.
Right.
And so I'm like, maybe it'll be worth it. But I only got it because we both wanted to watch Castle Rock because we're big, like, Stephen King people. And I was like, man, I really want to watch the show, but it's only on Hulu. And I'm like, damn, these the exclusives are
like Mr. Robot's exclusive to Amazon Prime.
Me,
yeah,
they're like it bugs me because it's we talked about it I think last time or the week before where it's providing the same problem that cable's providing where it's like everyone got rid of cable because they didn't want to pay $300
right.
to watch 10 channels, but now it's like well now I have to have Hulu if I want to watch Castle Rock or Handmaid's Tale, and I have to have Amazon if I want to watch Mr. Robot or Transparent, or I have to have Netflix if I want to watch Stranger Things or House of Cards or whatever.
But I mean,
whatever.
Silver lining, they are charging us over $100 for cable. Cable, give it up. What's cable doing?
Right.
Still
no,
charging that much money.
It's garbage.
But at least it's like $10 Netflix. I mean, let's say
yeah,
even
add
if it was 10.
All, if you want to watch the new Star Trek, you have to have CBS. So say they're all $10
mm-hmm.
and you have CBS, you have Netflix, you have HBO, you have Hulu, you have Amazon. That's $50 right there. Plus your $50 for your internet. That's already a $100 bill for your entertainment. So it's already going to be the same. So, like, what the fuck is the difference?
Okay, you need a stream box. You need a cheat stream box. That's what you need.
Yes,
a Cody box.
So, but I'm glad you got HBO, I mean, Hulu.
Right.
Because
why?
There's something on there that you should see for sure,
which
and we
what?
Should talk about.
What's that?
Which is Too Funny to Fail, which is the story of the Dana Carvey short-lived television show.
Too Funny to Fail.
Yes.
Don't
Too
know
Funny
it.
To Fail.
I'll watch it, though.
Yeah. No, the reason what's great about it is that everybody in comedy... is in it.
Okay.
Like, and involved in it.
Sure.
So this show, in theory, you look at the stable of comedians and comic writers that worked on this show, Louis C.K., it's huge names.
It's huge?
It's huge.
Yeah.
Huge. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Huge. Anyway, it's a good topic.
Nice.
It's a really good topic.
Well,
so,
it's funny
so
because...
Good. I was even going to give you my password
oh, nice.
So just so you can watch that.
And then you were going to change it.
Yeah.
Right.
And then change it right.
Yeah. Do you watch that one?
Yeah,
you're on your login. Well, yeah. Sorry about
Are
that.
Are you done with it?
Sorry about changed. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I'm done.
That's,
I'm done.
That's a good burn.
I was going to watch something else, but.
It's a good
I was allowing you one show.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dude, you got to watch Stranger Things. I don't have Netflix. Log in. You can watch it. Let me know when you're done so we can talk about it. Oh, I finished it. Great.
Good. Change my life. Yeah. I wanted to watch, you know, I wanted to watch, what's that one? The murder show.
You were on a free trial from me.
Yeah, you got to pay me $5 if you want that password.
We could split it.
For the.
Exactly. If you want.
But it's funny because I've never had Hulu, and so watching the stuff that's on, or watching the originals on Hulu, or the original, Castle Rock, that's the only one that we're watching.
But okay, then I was, more.
But then I was bored, and since Hulu was the last thing I watched, I just clicked on it, and it opened again, and then I was like, I wonder what they have to offer. And, like, they have some good backlogs of stuff, and so I've been watching Community.
Oh, yeah, Community's bomb,
like Rick
Seinfeld.
And Morty. Rick and Morty's
Rick and Morty.
On there.
That's how I've been watching Rick
I've
and Morty.
I've never seen an episode of Rick and Morty.
Oh, it's so smart.
I know.
It is good. It's
so good. I rewatch it constantly. Constantly. That and Bob's Burgers is on there right
Bob's
now exclusively.
Burgers.
They took it off of Netflix.
It's good,
so.
Too, yeah.
It's good.
Mm-hmm.
So, gotta check out Rick and Morty. Gotta check out Too Funny to Fail.
Seinfeld's always money.
Seinfeld's
I mean, like,
there.
Always there.
But I was just like, ooh, I haven't seen Community in a while. So I went back and started watching
So good. It's good. So good.
But I'm like, that's the thing. I could have been watching something new on Netflix or something new on whatever.
Now you know
and
that,
what did I do? Community.
Well, let's be honest. A lot of time we're watching the replays of things we
of
already
course.
Know we love.
Yeah, for sure. But you know that Rick and Morty is the Community guy.
Dan
Harmon.
Harmon.
Yeah. So,
so genius.
Yeah, it is.
It's really smart. It's
but good. I'll probably end up keeping it for at least another month because Castle Rock's going to be over before then. Or I'll cancel mine and Samantha will sign up with hers. And
well, I've been paying like $5.99
email every week.
Right,
and
exactly.
I've been paying $5.99 for the CBS one for months now.
But like the only thing you wanted to watch was Star Trek, right?
No, it was football.
Oh,
it was
right.
Literally, it was like, and now I've had it. And I forget about it, and right. I've watched
Is that all
it.
Cable has now, like sporting events?
Yeah.
Well, you know what? That's what they say.
People holding on.
Well, that's one of the things,
yes,
too. Yeah. Is that because TV, our TV watching, as you know, has become so streaming-oriented, where you watch whatever you want, whenever you want, at any time,
mm-hmm.
that live broadcast
live
stuff
events,
is not...
Right.
That important anymore. Oh, I gotta
yeah,
watch
like,
Thursday
oh, sorry,
night.
You want
because,
me to be home at
yeah, the,
6?
The Cosby Show is on. I have
yeah.
to watch it at this time.
Right.
No, you don't have to. You can watch it whenever you want.
I remember racing home from
events,
school for things.
Yeah,
yep.
But sporting events are the same way. They don't get
they
because
don't wait.
Yeah, because
and
people
you can
like
DVR them, but like eh,
you don't
the fun in that.
It's yeah, you want to watch it because like a lot of sports fans, you feel you have an
influence
on what happens
of course.
If you're watching
yeah,
your
it
live.
Energy, you're sending
exactly.
It to them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because we're a bunch of idiots.
Yes, we're not idiots.
I was wearing my hat this way that one time.
I'm wearing my lucky
and now
socks.
Okay,
wear it.
Yeah, yeah. Now that's dumb. But
my shirt was red, but I wasn't watching the game. That's why they lost.
Right.
But I don't know. I still believe, and I have nothing to back this up with, that your own individual energies and thoughts towards something will have an effect on it. In some way or the other.
Sure.
So, but you
maybe
know,
if you're in the venue,
then why did it take 100 so. Plus years for the Cubs to win the World Series?
Good question. Good question. You know, but and also not only that, like, and this is like something that I want to do on a completely separate project, but like Buffalo Bill fans, like, how do you become a Buffalo Bill fan, believe in God, or if that's what you believe in,
right?
And then reconcile that with your love of the Buffalo Bills and their torturous run of 4 times to the Super Bowl in a row and losing every time.
Yeah.
And then how does that affect your, like, there's a lot of fun stuff there to think about and talk about. Anyway,
yeah.
Forgot what I was talking
Humans
about.
And sports
you were talking
is crazy.
About CBS and how you bought it for sports and still have
I'm going
to
keep it for a while.
That it's there.
Yeah, I'm still going to keep it until like we're
Needs
like.
The games.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. Charger games are coming up.
Humans have loved games since forever.
Forever.
With gladiators and...
I want to see somebody killing each other, yeah.
It's true. So before we wrap things up, we've been doing this thing where we're talking about movies that have been influential and all that stuff. Do you still Facebook at all, ever?
Yo, you know, I mean, I'm on it.
A little bit. So it was the thing...
I'm on Instagram more.
Yeah, so it was going around where it's like, you know, post... it's one of those chain letters where it's like, post your 10 or one movie a day and then tag someone and then they post a movie a day, whatever.
Okay.
And I was like, I actually like movies, so I'll bite. So I did my whole 10 movies. I nominated BJ, but I'm just curious if on the top of your head you have one or two... movies that influenced you in some way. So my first one that I posted was the movie Willow. Do you know the movie Willow?
I do.
Mel Kilmer and Warwick Davis, a little person. It's like a fantastical movie. But as a kid, I was like, that was one of the first movies that I remember seeing that like opened my imagination to like there's dragons and trolls and, mm-hmm. like, there's other things outside of what I've read in Dr. Seuss books or whatever.
Yep.
So is there anything that you can think of movie-wise that is on your, like, influential movie list?
I mean, if I have to go most influential, I mean, probably Lord of the Rings. If you go the first Lord of the Rings movie. Okay. So, you know, I went to film school.
Right.
Screenwriting degree.
I did not know that.
You didn't know that?
No.
I went to film school.
Right. I've never been on your podcast, so I wouldn't know these things.
You're welcome, BJ.
But Jared is.
Just
been
so
on
you know
that,
so. You're welcome. You're, well, see, you're welcome to come friend. On my podcast.
Yeah, I guess that helps. That helps too, I guess. Right. Stupid, you guys being
We're
friends.
We're all friends here.
Right.
Lord of the Rings would be a really big one because nice. When that first movie came out, I remember seeing it in the theater, being blown away mm-hmm. by what they created. I love the books. I'm a book nerd, mm-hmm. so I've read all of those anyway when I was a kid. So I got obsessed, and then I bought the DVDs, and I watched all of those special features. Oh, like, if yeah. you have the Lord of the Rings DVDs, you know they gave you just hours upon hours of beautiful special features to watch. And well, I was so passionate
yeah.
about it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I remember I was coming out of high school, and I didn't know what to do with my life. And I was like, I was going to be like an art major. I was all over the place. Mm-hmm. And then I remember I was sitting down with my college counselor, and he was like, well, what do you want to do? I was like, I don't know. He's like, what do you like? And I was like, well, I love to write, and I love movies. And, you know, I've been, like, obsessed with this other thing, this Lord of the Rings thing, whatever. He goes, you know, you can go to school and get a degree
yeah.
in screenwriting. I was like, a four-year degree and get that? And get a BA? I didn't yeah. think you could get, like, a BA in that for some reason. And then that's how I ended up going to film school, was because I was so impressed with...
So where?
The first Lord of the Rings movie. I went to Chapman.
And now, it was what your major screenwriting?
Yep.
Yep.
Oh, that's awesome. I have a BA in screenwriting.
That's
yeah.
bomb ass.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's how I ended up, because I was so amazed by the entire process of how they made that movie
that script.
I love special features. Like, I fucking love them.
Yeah.
A lot of people are like, boring or don't need it. I just want the movie and that's the end of it.
No,
but
I love
I'm
it.
Like, I dive into those. And Lord of the Rings was a big one for me because... They didn't rely on special effects. They built, like, when he's in the little cart with Gandalf.
They made it as real as you can.
And Ian McKellen's, like, the camera shot with the perspective, mm-hmm. where he's sitting on a tiny little thing, and the cart is just this built, weird, trapezoidal thing
yep.
to make it look like Elijah Wood's tiny and Ian McKellen's
so
huge.
Many,
and it's all just perspective.
So That's many dope. Practical effects.
Yeah. yeah.
That the whole thing felt so real. And, like, I wouldn't want to see it in that super 4K.
Right.
Like, I don't want right. to see it like that. Everything felt so legitimate. Like, this is a real place I could go to. Well, and I know I can go to New Zealand, go to Hobbiton still. I get it.
And everyone has doubles. Like, all the Hobbits have short people doubles. Like, real short people. And then, like, the humans have, like, giant doubles.
Mm-hmm.
So that way when it's a close-up of Elijah Wood and he's standing next to Gandalf, it's Gandalf's...
Giant
McKellen's
double
yeah, right. to make it look huge. And it's like
that's the difference. In,
it's so great
in Lord of the Rings being incredible, though, and the Hobbit movies being not incredible,
right?
Because the Hobbit movies felt like a lot of CGI.
A lot of CGI.
Like, yeah. But Lord of the Rings didn't feel like that,
right?
And yeah. the CGI that was in there, Gollum and things like that, was so incredible, especially right. at that yeah. time. And it still looks good.
It looks good. It's not like it's still, great because yeah, I just went back and watched
holds,
Two
it
Towers,
holds up pretty
which has a
okay.
lot of Gollum and Two
Jurassic
Towers.
Park still looks great. Well, you know, 25 yeah. years later, yeah. however long.
That's a lot of practical effect too, though, right? There's a lot of those dinosaurs
know.
That they built as like machines.
There's a lot of CG though.
I just know they seamed it together so pretty.
Oh, of course,
so pretty.
Yeah. Okay,
very few
so,
movies work where you're a ton of green screen. Like 300 works. It's like all green
oh, yeah.
screen.
But that's yeah. so
but
stylized.
You get that feel. Yeah, you
but
get that
works.
Feel
it's
for it.
It's not like mm-hmm. Star Wars Episode II, no. Attack of the Clones, where no. it's like people surrounded by green screen, where it's like, is anything real in this movie other than Hayden Christensen? No, nothing. Got it.
Him and his
or Sin City
questionable
or something
acting
like
choices.
That, where right. you know, it's all just like, this
but
is all
I feel
on
like
set.
It'll work, because what was the Jude Law, Gwyneth Paltrow?
Ooh, I love Jude Law.
Sky Captain and the World of Tomorrow.
I did see that, actually.
It's a good flick, but it's all fake.
It is super duper, yes.
But it's so stylized that we don't...
Like Sin City.
We forgive it, right? Where it's like, oh, they did that on purpose. They're not trying to make it look real.
Expectation, too.
Right.
You know you're going in to see something that's specifically...
Well, they're doing it on purpose, right? They're trying
choice.
To make it look all cloudy and foggy like a 40s movie, or they're trying to make it black and white and noir-ish, mm-hmm. and same thing with 300 or Watchmen, where you're like, oh, I know what I'm getting with all these
yeah.
CG effects. Where it's like Star Wars, you're used to them walking into the cantina and opening a wooden door, where and then you watch Star Wars Episode II, and you're like, you're sitting on a green screen box, and then they draw a spaceship around you. Like, it doesn't...
Yeah.
It's you're trying to make it look real.
Yeah.
And it's not real.
Mm-hmm.
I'm with you there.
Yeah.
Those are all legit.
Yeah. Any other movies off top of your head that was like as a kid you're like, man, like this is the first cartoon that made an effect, or
so many, right?
Lord of the Rings,
Disney movies.
Well, it's true.
The first Disney movie I ever saw was Cinderella. How about this? The first movie I can remember hysterically laughing at in the theater. Hysterical.
Ooh, I'm excited to hear what this is.
And I didn't even fully know all of what was going. You're never gonna guess it. You'll okay. never guess.
All right, Pauly Shore.
Biodome.
Oh, yeah. Three then. George of the Jungle, the first time I ever knew I really loved men. George there of the Jungle, Brendan Fraser, and a loincloth.
Oh, yeah.
So you that's a big moment.
You
want to
meet Brendan? You know, he's a friend of mine. You know, we can pick this up. So.
Yes, you can give him my number. Give him my number. That was a big moment in my life.
What was cool was talking to John in the interview and then mentioning Brendan Fraser, and he was like, oh, yeah, you guys are like,
So are you legit homies? Are you playing with me right now?
He went to school with him.
I didn't go to school with him. My buddy Tom went to school with him in Seattle.
I thought you were in a show with him.
I was in a show with him. I was in his. He directed the senior project
Had to go to school to be in the show there or whatever.
No. It was a senior project. You just had to be in the show. Gotcha. I mean, like, you just had to. It was the project. The project was for you to put on a show.
Oh, gotcha.
And you could put it on however you want. Nice. And so a lot of times they would get seniors who graduated the year before to direct it. And so Brendan was a senior who graduated before, but I seen him in several plays when he wasn't a senior.
Nice.
So he was just part of the crew in Seattle.
It's my first celebrity crush.
There you go.
Right on.
And then The Mummy is beautiful. That's a really
good
one, too.
You know what? We're going to make this happen. We're going to make this happen.
That's right.
You want to watch me flip out?
Yes.
I do,
On the inside. You'll just see through my eyes. I'm not going to do it externally.
That's so cool. No, that's cool. No, this is like an achievable goal.
You watch George of the Jungle and you're like, I have woman feelings.
That was literally, right? I was 11 years old. I was 11 years old, and I just remember thinking, like, I will one day want one of those.
Right. I am aware.
That's legitimately the mind.
I am aware of my femaleness right now.
Yes.
I am aware of it.
It was my awakening.
I mean, he looked good in that movie, too.
So I should probably tell him
that,
yeah?
He was all cut up.
Sure.
He looked beautiful in that movie. Okay, so the first movie I remember hysterically laughing at, and I didn't even understand everything in it when I was a kid, because I was young, The Birdcage.
Ooh, nice.
I was like, I remember like rolling in the aisle at that movie.
Never saw it, I don't think.
What?
Oh, it's Robin Williams, Nathan Lane.
It's La Cage Fall remade.
But it's a movie.
Right.
Yeah. God, it's so
funny.
Was
there a movie of that? I know it is a safe
La Cage Fall? I'm pretty sure.
There's a movie?
I could be wrong. Huh. You're asking the wrong guy.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure that there was.
But that movie's great.
It's hysterical. It still holds up.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
To this day. Mm-hmm. I thought it was really funny. They said originally Robin Williams was supposed to be the Nathan Lane character.
Weird.
And then he said, like, I shouldn't be that one. I should be the other guy. And then they got Nathan Lane, who is way more feminine for that role. It works better.
So perfect.
But that movie, I was a kid, and I didn't even understand, like, I don't even know if I understood, like, gay people at the time.
Right.
I just thought it was so funny and amazing.
Huh.
And I love it.
It's so funny. Ah.
He's brilliant in that. He's all ripped in that movie, too.
Of course.
What in the world?
I never think of... That's so funny. I would not think of him as being a cut-up guy.
He does the Simpsons voices? Yeah. What else does he do now? I don't know.
Because that's all you do. You just picture him audibly, you know, like in your ear. Like,
yeah. And he's like, he's fit in that movie.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I hear.
Crazy.
And he's wearing his little cut-off shorts.
You'll enjoy that. It's funny.
Right on.
I can't believe you haven't seen it. That's weird. Oh, it's because it's Robin Williams and you hate him.
I don't hate Robin Williams, but sometimes...
Not your favorite? Well, he's not very Robin Williams-y in this movie.
And which is why I loved Good Will Hunting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, and I loved him in it.
Yeah.
But like I have a thing that I've been holding on about him and his style that
in your face never turn off
in your face scene stealing
but he's not that guy in this movie.
He's
That's
not
good.
That guy in a lot of
he's
movies.
Not yeah no he's a very he was a very
actor
good actor
wise
no he was very, very good right. guy and a very good actor and a good person too.
I can quote that movie line for line when I watch it.
Comedy wise and like interviews on like Letterman or whatever, like they said, everyone said that like he was such a great guy, but they hated interviewing him. Because they'd ask him one question, and then 5 minutes later, they'd be like, wait, you do like going to the beach? I asked you something so simple, and you just went, and you're Robin Williams.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
You know what? I'm kind of like that. So maybe that's why I feel like a little, you know.
You always
not
feel
near,
conflict with people that had the same thing.
Maybe so.
You.
You know, like, who's he think he is? I'm the one who gets distracted and talks about stuff. But
so,
clearly not to that level.
I did some things where I like figured out how to rip DVDs into my computer and then post them. So
I did see that.
BJ to watch these movies they said he should watch.
Yeah,
and then I sent him your way. And did you watch them?
I have not watched them yet.
Of course not.
But I'm excited to have them and watch them. I want to figure out a way to watch them on
you
my
Noises Off and I sent you Chaplin, right? Those are the two I sent you?
I think so.
Yeah.
Noises Off for sure, and the second one I wasn't sure.
Chaplin.
But yeah. Good.
You should watch both of them.
I will. In fact, what we should do, well, you should choose one, because this is what I think we should do.
Yeah.
For our movies.
Sure.
You should choose one that you want to make sure that me and Rich watch, or someone or anyone else watches.
Sure.
And then, first of all, hey, Rich, who couldn't be here today. He's right. Our new co-host.
Yes.
As of 4 weeks ago or
Boo,
so.
He should be here. I'm just kidding.
But he's a working photographer who got called in to work a lot. So, but anyway, that we watch the movies that you know, and then discuss, especially
I'm
particular.
Hate it, and I'm gonna not
well,
like
then
you
then
anymore.
Just pick movie, pick no, a movie that you for sure are gonna like. You know, I think that out of our list, we pick one movie. You know that you're like, I want to watch this movie and then discuss it.
I dig it.
And then we'll talk about your movie, whatever you want to talk about, and then talk about Gattaca or whatever movie that I want to talk about.
It's so good.
Oh, speaking of which, do we want to go through any of my list anymore, or do we want to wrap it up?
We got Courtney, you got time? You gotta go?
It's 8:30.
No, good for a little bit.
Okay, let's go for
whatever
it.
Whatever you guys
want
to
do.
Let's go
through
your
list.
Where are we at? Time-wise,
1:20. Yeah. All right, briefly. I don't like to go too long.
I don't like to go that long. What's too
long? I don't know. I think an hour 15 is a good sweet spot. I think once we get past that.
We weren't even talking about movies until after an hour.
That's true.
Just so you know.
Hey, but it was all sweet. It was all sweet.
So where are you at on your movies?
So last time we left off, I think I was on movie number four.
I think you said the last one. I think it was Do the Right Thing. I think.
Was it? Okay. So we talked about River's Edge.
Briefly.
A little bit. And Do the Right Thing a little bit.
Yep.
Okay. So first of all, Spike Lee has a new movie out, Black Klansman, which I saw and Rich saw. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be a fun one to talk about. It's going to be a fun one.
I'm black, y'all, and I'm black, y'all, and I'm blacker than black, and I'm black, y'all. I'm blacker than black, blacker than black, black, I'm blacker than black, yo, because I'm black and I'm back.
All right, Courtney.
What just happened?
That's right. Black, y'all.
That's what happens when you come to life to binge.
Oh, my goodness. Yep.
Yeah. And so, anyway, that's going to be a fun one to talk about. If you haven't seen that yet, you should go see it. It's a fun movie. And you're going to enjoy it. If you don't get a chance to see it, I hope you do. Yeah. I hope you do. That would be a good thing.
Maybe. I have to have time to go to the movies. So.
And have MoviePass work for you,
right.
Which didn't.
Or pay to
I had
go
to
see
pay,
it.
Yeah, right. I had to pay to see this movie.
Or pay to see a movie.
For Pete's sake. For which is bullshit. Yeah.
How dare they want me to pay them for their millions of dollars of investment.
Yeah. So, but anyway, my day five movie was Roxanne. Did we talk about that?
Nope. Yeah.
Okay. We don't have to talk about that too much, but that's just a movie that I enjoyed as a young person, probably a teenager, seeing that in the theater.
Did you know the Cyrano story or no?
Yeah, but not in great detail.
Sure.
Not in great detail. And so probably it was one of those things where I heard the Cyrano story and then realized, oh yeah, this is a, like I knew that it was a modern adaptation of Cyrano de Bergerac.
Right.
But like, anyway, it's just really good. And it more just spoke to me the same way that Broadcast News, which is on my list as well, but we've talked about before, is a movie that spoke to me because the main character who I related to, and then of course in this movie it's Steve Martin's character, who's the police chief who has
police
something
chief,
that's
fire
not
chief.
Fire chief, yeah, fire chief who's physically isn't as attractive as he wishes he was to folks, but he feels like he has a lot to offer. And so he's trying to get someone who like him, who doesn't like him, but likes this other guy, and who he ends up playing him or pretending to be him or helping the other guy get him by telling her what she wants. It's great. It's a lot of fun. And so
it's Steve Martin at like his Steve Martin-iest, like prime.
Yep. And so that is on my list. Broadcast News is the next one on my list, which I would love for everyone in the world to see.
Yep. We talked about that one a little bit.
Day seven is Boys in the Hood.
Okay.
Did you ever see that?
Yes.
Okay. That's a great movie. It's a great, great, great movie. Did you see Boys in the Hood?
A long, long time ago.
It's just really good movie making and poignant at the time. And it's funny, like almost every movie that
What's
I'm...
What's that?
It's like Cool Runnings.
Right. Exactly. That was a joke, BJ.
Sorry. Okay.
Old 90s movies.
Boys in the Hood. Yeah, that reminds me of Cool Runnings.
Yeah, that doesn't sit well. I'm like, it's nothing like Cool Runnings at all.
You mean those aren't the same?
But that's all good. So, Searching for Bobby Fischer.
That one intrigued me.
Have you seen that?
I saw it once when I was a kid a long, long time ago, but I don't know it as an adult.
It's a movie that I really enjoy, and what I like about it is like kind of
Because he's like the chess champion, right? And then is that what's going on there?
He's a young kid.
Prodigy or whatever.
Yeah, a young kid who they realize in the story, that in the telling of the story, you realize that he takes up chess and that he has a proclivity. And then,
it's
like,
a
he turns
true
out
story,
he's like,
right? Isn't it?
Yeah.
Or, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And it turns out that he's a prodigy. Yeah. Right. That he turns out he's a chess prodigy. And the way that the movie deals with his learning that and the parents kind of trying to deal with that, because it's like, what do you do when your kid is super duper good at something? Right. You don't want to be that overbearing parent who, you know, you don't want to be the theater parent or the tennis parent who's just constantly riding them
right.
to do stuff. But anyway, it deals very well with those whole issues. And one of the lines that is so great about it, is the father is trying to explain to a teacher, you know, because she's like, well, you know, he has this chess thing coming up. He's like, chess thing? He's like, chess thing? Really? He's right. like, you don't understand. He's like, he's better at this than I've been at anything ever in my life. He's better at this than you will ever be at anything ever. He's like, so when you say chess thing, it demeans how great this is, you know. And anyway, and it deals with, it's a great movie.
Right.
And it's really funny because that movie has to do with chess. One of another movies on my list, Fresh, is an art house movie, but right. that has a very strong chess theme going through the whole thing as well.
Gotcha.
So maybe, I think they didn't come out that far apart. Like,
chess was big in the early 90s.
I guess so. Yeah. There's a lot of like chess themes involved, and then there was a play called Chess. Remember that?
Mm-hmm. That's musical.
One night in Bangkok, yeah. and you're fine. Searching for Bobby Fischer is on the list. It's a great one. I'll finish out my list real quick. I have only two more. Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon mm-hmm. is on the list. Whew.
Now, is that for your love of kung fu movies?
No.
Or was it because that movie was like kind of the first of that weird new stylized genre? Or,
yes. And a little of Column A, too, because when we were very little, Bruce Lee was big. Like,
yeah.
Bruce, and like, it was a big thing to go see a Bruce Lee movie.
Sure.
And everybody talked about Bruce Lee the same way you talk about, like, I'm O.J. Simpson, or I'm this, you know, I'm like pretending to be someone.
That was a weird example.
But that was the example. Like,
oh,
that
I know,
was back
at
in
the
day.
Time, for sure, because he was like...
And that's really funny, because they
how quickly things have changed.
Yeah, and they referenced that in Black Klansman.
Oh, yeah.
Where they're like, you know who's mom? O.J. And everyone's like, yeah, O.J. And the crowd's just cracking up. Like, O.J. But that's how it was. Like, everybody loved O.J. back in the day.
No,
but anyway, Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon was, to me, when I watched it and saw the whole thing, at the end of the movie, I went, that is a perfect movie.
Yep.
Like, the way they told the story, and when it came to the end, and he floats off into the
spoiler alert?
Whatever. It's all good.
That movie came out, what, 1997?
Yeah, it's beautiful.
No,
it's a beautiful movie.
Well, and then, that movie, because it came out right before, right after, right around when The Matrix came out, and, like, everyone, like, films were doing these things where I was like, what the is happening?
Yeah, there were a lot of cool stuff.
How did Keanu Reeves bend over like that?
Yeah,
how are they walking? Like, the effects
how are they walking up
the
tree? Yeah, walking
yeah,
on tree branches
across the treetops like that. Like
yeah.
what the? And it looked good.
Yeah.
Like it didn't look cheesy. It didn't look like they were floating on wires. Like it looked like holy shit. How are they doing that? So mm-hmm. yeah.
So I have two movie number tens because I couldn't kick one off.
Okay.
So
you jokingly put Murder on the Orient Express.
I did
like,
because
what?
we just watched it.
Right.
And Andrea was going. It was
yeah,
great.
It was.
She was going off yeah. and off and off on this movie. And it's funny because I do that the same thing.
Well, it's funny because you're like, I have two number tens, but I put 10 up and then I put another 10 up.
Yeah. Yeah, I couldn't say number
movies.
11.
Right.
I couldn't say 11
right.
because it just wasn't
right.
I put
20 movies up.
But number 10, the first number 10 was Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory because
nice.
It was the first movie that I remember that took me to a place that like I really wanted to go. And
nice.
Like and I remember thinking like that's awesome and like I want to go into this fantasy world.
I wanna,
which nowadays
and it, like made you believe that like that could happen. Where
yeah.
you're like, "Ooh, I could drink fizzy soda pop and float on the ceiling." Like,
yeah.
That could happen.
And there's a room somewhere where everything's edible
right.
and like, you know, and a river of chocolate running through. And you and these magic things happen where little Oompa Loompas run around and they make everything happen. And it was just one of those things. And plus Gene Wilder's probably his magical magnetic experience viewing him on screen is just
he has that thing
he has it
yeah.
I still get nervous during the tunnel scene
oh yeah
it's
when I
great.
Watch it
yeah,
it's still
great.
It brings me back to that same feeling when
yeah.
I was a kid yeah it's good
and so I know. We could talk about that all day, easily, all day and then some. And then, you know, there's a chicken getting his head cut off in this thing, which we didn't notice for years.
Oh, yeah. Dude,
and we told my mom that. It's like, you know, there's
like
a chicken.
The fox getting, like, eaten by, like, the fast forward, like, decomposing
stuff.
Yeah,
yes. Yeah, man. A bunch of, like, nasty images.
Weird stuff in there.
Imagery. That's, like, that's weird.
There's weird stuff.
Yeah.
So, but my last movie that I added on that had to be included but couldn't click anyone off was Gattaca.
Mm-hmm. We've talked about that a couple weeks, or recently, before. Yeah.
We've talked about it before.
Because we were talking about movies we really love. Have you seen Gattaca? Jude Law.
Yeah. I love Jude Law.
That movie's so good. It's just so smart. And
there's a lot of Jude Law talk going on tonight. Not really. We've referenced a couple times, I guess.
Yeah.
The Young Pope, meh.
In my opinion, meh. I watched that whole thing, meh. But yeah, Gattaca is my last one.
Nice.
So I just want to let you know. I've sent a message out to Beth Accomando and say, we would like to get you back on the show again.
Yeah.
We have this thing coming up. She's like, we're really busy this next couple months because Miguel's got a film festival coming up.
Horrible managing.
I don't know if it's that one or
isn't that always on around Halloween? No.
There's something this month. There's a festival.
No, they do it in September, I thought. Anyway.
But there's something else. I think it's a different thing that they're doing this month.
Got it.
And but anyway, she's down. I said, we want to bring you in for our movie tournament. Our movie year tournament.
The bracket system.
Yeah, where we're going to like...
That sounds very intense.
Yeah, we're going to pit years against other years to see what was the best movie year.
Yeah.
And we want to come up with a winner, what was the best movie year ever.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And so it's going to be a lot of fun. So every year there's like six movies or sometimes less or more.
I have a lot. One of the examples I have right up in front of me here is from the bracket that has like the 70s and 80s in it. And we have 1982 versus the year 1972. 1972 has movies like The Godfather, Deliverance, The Getaway, The Last House on the Left, The Last Tango in Paris, Way of the Dragon, Tales from the Crypt, The Poseidon Adventure, Cabaret, and The Mechanic. Do you know any of those films of The Godfather?
I know about half of them.
Okay. That's why 1972 is the 13 seed of the bracket. Versus 1982, which is the 4 seed.
E.T.
Which has The Blade Runner, The Thing, E.T., Fast Times at Ridgemont High, Gandhi, First Blood, 48 Hours, Annie, Conan the Barbarian, Poltergeist, The Dark Crystal, Rocky III, Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan, and An Officer and a Gentleman.
Yeah, 82 is going to win that one.
Oh, yeah.
I love the new Tron. I haven't made myself sit through the old Tron yet.
Have you not seen the old Tron?
Yeah.
I used to play that old Tron video game like crazy.
Yeah. Oh, man. I loved that movie when I was a kid. I freaking loved it because I was like,
I want to get in a computer.
In a video game.
Yeah.
Well, it felt like the future. Yeah.
It was great. It's good. Like, you would probably really enjoy it if you go back. It's kind of slow.
Right.
But it's
different kind of storytelling happening back then.
Especially as an adult that enjoys video games and, you know, the Black Mirror virtual reality and getting sucked into, you know, all that stuff.
Right,
technology and everything is right in your wheelhouse. Yeah,
right.
And the new one's great.
I love it.
So we got that coming up. That's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And so hopefully, and I finished it with like, well, hopefully we can get you on.
Yeah.
Maybe as the tournament
as
progresses.
It winds down or,
That we'll bring her in as either an arguer
or we can just yell at her for saying that Forrest Gump's a bad movie.
We got to have her on to talk about that.
Do you like Forrest Gump or no?
Yeah, I like it.
Apparently, it's a huge heated debate where it's a bad movie. And I'm like, what
about
it?
It's not a bad movie. It's not a bad movie. It maybe can be not your type of movie.
Not your cup of tea, but
I don't think it's
a
bad movie.
It'll be fun to talk about. Or maybe it won't be. Maybe it'll be like one that you're like,
ugh. I'm sure she'll just like slam it and put up all these like intellectual like reasons as to why it's not good. And I'll be like, but I think it's fun.
Like, and she'd say, that's fine, Jared.
Right?
That's
the thing. Like, I do like most things.
Yeah, it's all good.
It's a problem. This was garbage. And I'm like, I don't know. I had fun for 2 hours. Like, it was okay. Yeah.
So, right
on. Anyway, well, thanks, Courtney, for being here. Do you want to plug your stuff?
Sure. My podcast is called We're All Human. I have a blog, CourtneyDiamond.com, and I live stream on Twitch, which is twitch.tv/CourtneyDiamond. If you put in Courtney Diamond, you pretty much find me.
You probably Google Courtney Diamond. You're probably the number one Courtney Diamond. in the world.
I hope so.
I hope so, too. Right. Well, at least that we're going to make that so.
Otherwise, I got to throw a long list of them. It'll be crazy, but
and the
it should
Instagrams
be easy to find
and
me.
The Twitters, even though you don't Twitter so much.
My Twitter is pretty much my Instagram feed.
Right on.
But
exactly.
It's all at Courtney Diamond.
Nice.
Cool.
Well, thanks so much for being here, Courtney.
Thank you, guys.
Sure. Thank you.
Yeah, you're the best. But let's wrap things up and call it a night. So this has been Life's a Binge. I'm Jared.
I'm BJ.
And we'll
see you on the couch.
Life's a Binge. Bow, 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 bow. Ow, wow.
Right?
This has been a Life's a Binge production. Be sure and leave us a rating or review on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or wherever else you find the show. You can find us on all social media at Life's a Binge. Send us an email at lifesabinge@gmail.com. Join the phone army by dialing 619-438-0532. And if all else fails, check out our website at lifesabinge.com. Thanks for listening, and as always, we'll see you on the couch.
What could I do? Okay, all right.